There we are. All right. Welcome to Passion to Purpose 2.0. The full name is Passion to Purpose, the Heart and the Business of Doing Business. Last week, we had an engaging and lively discussion about passion and purpose and how all along the way, you could either have passion and not purpose, or you could have passion and purpose and be out of alignment with your core values. And there were so many aha moments from that. Kimberly gave us a really good discussion about how to use the tools effectively by first knowing who you want to be in the business. So we had a high level discussion about the tools that will be there for your use when you're ready for them. But the focus wasn't so much on the tools, but how you use the tools. But we gave you a whole lot of information and things to think about. And did anybody get overwhelmed by that information? Yay. Did you, Jill? Yeah. So what, tell me what you did about that. What overwhelmed you?
First of all, it was a fabulous class and had so much information, and I'm just at the ground level. So, you know, if I don't look at the mountain, that I'm fine. I just got to look at one step at a time, and, you know, I'm very grateful that I'm here and learning. So.
Yay. Yeah, so that can happen sometimes when you take that information and you're looking with the end in mind. And so I'm going to encourage you to look at the curriculum again. What jumps out at you that you feel like that's a good place to start? Mm-hmm. And that's where you start. And hopefully that will eliminate some of the overwhelm. Your left brain got hijacked. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Just before your heart engaged. All right. So again, welcome to Passion to Purpose, the Heart and Business of Doing Business Workshop number 2. You all know me by now. My name is Toni St. Clair, and I will be your facilitator for this workshop along with my partner in crime, Ms. Cassandra Herbert. She's our guest expert, and I'll tell you more about her later. About me, I'll repeat what I do. My passion and purpose is that I train, educate, inspire and motivate executives, health and wellness clients, coaches, coach wannabes, and practitioners to achieve their bold goal with joy and ease. I'm also a master success coach and a change agent for over 20 years, inspiring and empowering organizations and individuals to be the very best they can to make sure that they show up in their very best light. So be the best version of themselves. I've had lots of experience doing that. And I think I told you all last time, this is something I innately do. I was first born, so that made me a natural leader. I have always been chosen to be captains of teams, not because I'm the best player, but because I know how to motivate and inspire people. At the age of 29, I got my first management position. I was actually the youngest of people that I supervised. So I learned a thing or two along the way. So I'm hoping to share some of that information with you today. So I'm going to tell you again why I created this program. My business clients were coming to me not meeting their business goals. It wasn't because they didn't have enough information. It's because they were starving for wisdom about how to use it. So like where Jill is, you'd be my ideal client right now, right? Because you got all this information and you get overwhelmed with it. So I developed this program to guide a lot of you at one time to achieve your bold goals so that you can share your gifts with the world. Right. So housekeeping, everybody have their cell phones off? Please, please, please. Hopefully, yay. Let's see. The workshop is approximately 3 hours in duration. We quit on time last week. I'm hoping to do it again here. Cassandra's going to go on first, and I think hers is about an hour and a half or thereabouts. We'll take a break immediately after she's done for 10 minutes. If you feel a need to move around or, you know, take care of, bathroom habits, just go and do your bathroom break. And we will be here waiting for you. Or you can take us with you off camera and off microphone. The chat has been disabled to minimize distracting conversations, so thank you for understanding. I encourage you to use the Q&A, the hands up button, if you need to ask a question. I'll be monitoring that while Cassandra's talking. This is designed to be a safe place, so our rules of engagement, be respectful, treat others with loving kindness in this group, and I feel that we will. Keep it secret, maintain confidentiality. So a lot of you will be sharing information that's intimate. So let's respect this as a safe space and bubble. Be teachable. Strive to learn something from every interaction in this program. Even if you think, oh, I know that already, listen with your heart, not your head. And notice your mindset. Are you open to the information or are you fearful and inflexible? That's trying to tell you something. Hey, welcome, Angelica. So the flow and intention of this workshop, same as last week. It's all about high level, raising awareness, maybe stimulating some thought and some conversation and an action or two. And I'd like you all to share. Lynn shared that she was stimulated to do something. So maybe we'll go around and do a quick share if anybody was stimulated to do something from last week. So Lynn, would you mind sharing again your aha moment, what action you took as a result of last week's workshop?
Sure. I'd been wanting to do something local. I feel like already I spend too much time on the computer, and I have this tendency to say, oh, people in my area don't want to listen to what I have to say. But I have been feeling that I really do need to. So anyway, I'm putting together a workshop, and the title of it, I've been trying to figure out what to call it. But it's 3 secrets to make it through the end of the day with your eyes open. So
what part of the webinar or the meeting that we had last week, the workshop, stimulated you? Because it sounds like you were playing a little bit and exploring and discovering, which is what we're all about.
Right. And I'd been trying to do some of that beforehand, but honestly, what really got me going was that my business, it's not, like I said at the end of it, this is a business. It's not a hobby. And you had also asked us to be more in touch with our mission. And so I'd been playing with that. And so I wrote down to create space for women who are bone-sucking tired so they can hear their own voice, their own heartbeat, and so they can be empowered to live their life.
I love that.
So, feels very grounded.
Good, good. Well, I appreciate that. That's awesome, and I applaud you for that. That's huge. That's a huge step. Anybody else want to share for a minute or two? If not, no worries. We'll move on, but I do want to applaud you. And here's the thing about workshops. The information is there, and it may be settling somewhere in your heart, and you may be, you know, fooling around with, I think I'm going to do that. Something struck a chord, and you haven't acted on it yet. No worries. I'm here to help you, so I'll tell you how on the other side of this. So let's get to playing, discovering, and exploring. 3 objectives for this workshop. The first 2 we already accomplished last week. Help you fill the gap between your passion and your purpose so you can create a business of your dreams with confidence. It looks like Lynn's well on her way. Recreate or create a business that is less hustle and grind. I'm not all about that. And more ease and flow. That's what I'm all about. So that's what we discussed last week. Now we're going to learn about how to grow your business with powerful intuition-based coaching. First 2 objectives were discussed last week. This week we're discussing the 3rd one. I won't ask you what your expectations are because we already explored that last time. But I do want to encourage you to not be overwhelmed by the information. This workshop is designed to stimulate the right brain. If you invite your left brain to the party, you will be dazed and confused. Just let your right brain come and have a party with us. Remember that the right brain is the heart. That's your heart center. Left brain is a dumb executor. It won't know what to do with this information until you feel it in your heart. So just stay with us. All right. So coaching with confidence. Why are we concerned with coaching with confidence? Because you can grow your business with powerful heart-focused coaching skills. Ask me how I know. I am not a big marketer. That is not my skill set, but what I am good at is motivating, inspiring, and bringing people successful results. And that's what I've done with just strong, powerful coaching skills, and I hope to share that with you today. So if you really want to grow your business with that skill set, it increases your intuition and wisdom. It allows you to confidently apply your competence. So you don't lead with your smart, you lead with your heart. And it'll promote more successful outcomes for you and your client. And why is that important? You want to improve client retention. You want to receive glowing testimonials. You want to receive more referrals and recommendations. And when you want to grow your business and your income with joy and ease, not hustle and grind. It doesn't have to be that way. All right. So moving on, we're going to start our workshop with our guest expert teacher, Cassandra Herbert, who's going to provide us with simple and practical energy essential techniques that you can do now. Cassandra coaches real life superwomen on how medicines of the earth, food, herb, and essential oils can support them on their wellness journey and help them have more zest and harmony. I love that. In all areas of their life. Cassandra is a holistic nurse, psychotherapist, a health and wellness coach, and nutritional endocrinology coach and educator, just recently certified. Yay! She's also a national board certified health and wellness coach, so she also knows a thing or two about coaching. She's my partner in crime and provides her expertise in my Coach's Corner, Coach with Confidence program. And we're going to go deeper in honing those coaching skills in that program. She's just going to give you a taste of what we do. So get ready for an interactive, engaging, and energetic presentation by my friend, colleague, and fellow coach extraordinaire, Cassandra Herbert.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Tony. I'm so excited to be here. And as I was listening to Tony, just talk about, you know, that head, you know, to heart. I am, again, like Lynn was saying, I attract my ideal client. And for years, you know, I was all in my head. And I am a doer. And that whole being was very challenging for me to like be. Well, things have to get done, right? Who has time to just be and go within and check my intuition? What? I never felt I was intuitive at all, you know, until I started actually honing into that. And so I encourage you all, where you might be saying, oh my goodness, I don't know what they're talking about. I got things to do. I got to market. I got to do this. And you feel like you're not intuitive, you know, the more it's building that muscle, right? We build our brain muscle with all the information, right? We're good at doing that. We're good at taking that information in. But what about building our heart muscle? And what about building our intuition? And let me tell you, from a person who did not think they were intuitive at all, or didn't, that was just wasn't my story. We are all intuitive. And the more that I've used many of the tools that I'm going to talk about today, the more I use that on a daily basis, the more that my intuition has like expanded. The more my heart has expanded, the more I'm like, wow. And I'll share some stories on just like, it is more ease and flow. It is more about that. I mean, those words used to be like, I don't know. People don't do anything when they're in ease and flow. They're not doers. They don't understand. So a little bit about, Tony said, I have those background. I'm a nurse. I've been a registered nurse since 1995, I don't know, almost 25 years, is that? Yes. And so I come from that very, you know, allopathic medical background, you know, undoing and you know, diagnosing and looking at that. Learned more about intuition as I got into more of therapy, but really got more into it as I started taking a lot of classes on herbs and classes on essential oils and crystals. And I've also, many of you probably heard, she spoke at one of Dr. Rita Marie's Shine conferences, I think like 3 years ago, Dr. Deanna Minnick. And I actually took her food and spirit certificate. Maybe it's not a certification. It's like for practitioners. And I did that. And so a lot of what I teach, you know, I'm big on chakras, but being a nurse, if I go in and talk about chakras, people are going to be looking at me like, what? You know what? And so she's made it where it's the seven health systems. And it's like the root and all that stuff. So I'm going to go into that, but we're going to feel into that. All right. And so, with that, I want us to really present ourselves. So taking in that deep breath, you know, just take a deep breath in and then slowly, gently releasing. And another deep breath. And then I'm going to do a meditation. I don't know how many minutes. I'm just going to feel into it, and I'm going to do a meditation. So if you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes, but you don't have to. Feeling your feet on the ground, feeling your hips on the chair, and just letting go, whatever's not serving you in this moment, anything that happened prior to getting on this call, anything that happened this morning, some of you might actually still be in mourning, anything that, you know, might have happened last night, just letting that go, putting that to the side. Then as you breathe in, breathing in what it is that you feel that you would like to receive during our time together. And just noting that. And then just going in a little deeper and just noticing how you feel in your body. Just noticing it. Maybe in your shoulders. Maybe in your chest. In your heart. Just noticing it. No judgment. Just noticing it. And then we're going to move down to our feet. Our feet, our wonderful feet that hold us up. The feet is part of the root system. And that root system helps us to feel grounded, to feel safe, to feel secure. The color is red, so visualizing that red. When us as coaches and business owners, when our root is off, we feel insecure. We feel unsettled. We don't feel like we have the tools that we need to have a successful business. We worry a lot about money. We worry a lot if people will actually buy from us, listen to us. We have a scarcity mindset. So just feel into that. Feel into that. See if that resonates for you. No judgment. Just feeling into that. And that red, that root moves up to your feet and up to your legs, your knees, up into your thighs, and then up into your bottom. And now we're changing into the color orange. And that orange represents the flow system. It's this flow system where when it's balanced, we're in flow, we're in ease, we feel creative. It represents the element of water. It's sensuality and femininity. And as coaches, as business owners, when that's out of balance, we feel like we're not creative. We don't feel in that flow. We're more tapped into our yang and that masculine energy, into that doing. We have challenges with being. That's all in our hip area and all in our reproductive area and all into our womb and our yoni area and just feeling into that space and see what comes up for you. No judgment. Just noticing. And now we're moving up into our abdomen, into our small intestines and our large intestines. The color is yellow. When that is balanced and in harmony, we feel powerful because this is actually our power system. We feel confident, we feel competent, we feel self-assured. We're able to share our message with the world. When it's out of harmony, we might feel like we might even have digestive issues. We don't feel confident. We feel unsure. We don't feel powerful. We don't feel like we can express ourselves. We hide. We don't feel like people will actually value what we're sharing. We're actually fearful. A lot of times when that root, which is fear and scarcity, is connected with that, with the power system. So if we don't feel rooted, usually our power system's off too. Just noticing that, feeling that. Feel if you have any sensations in that area. No judgment, just feeling. As we move up into our heart and that heart center area, which is the love system. And it's this emerald green, or the green of leaves. And it's expansive because it also represents not just our heart, but our lungs. Hence, are we taking breaths? Are we sharing? Do we feel expansive? Like when Lynn shared about what her program is going to be, there was an expansiveness. That's how we can see if what we're sharing is in alignment with our heart. Are we expansive or are we constricted and, again, fearful? Are we feeling a sense of gratitude and compassion and self-love? This is our love system. How are we connecting with the individuals that we are meant to support, to coach? How are we connecting with them? When that's off, there's a worry, there's a fear, but there's more of that emotional. This is where our emotions are. There's anger. There's guilt. There's self-loathing. There could even be, you know, some depression, some weighted energy that we feel in our heart. Our heart tells us so much. Just noticing that. Noticing if you're feeling anything in that heart area, in that love system. Notice if you're even having challenges with breathing. And then we're going to move up into our throat area. Our throat. It's our truth system. The color is blue, but it's the blue of the sky. It's that self-expression. It goes from when we're grounded and rooted, and we have that red and that yellow, and we feel self-confidence, and then we're able to express ourselves. It's our self-expression. It's our communication. How are we communicating to ourselves? What stories are we telling ourselves about ourselves as business owners, as coaches? What are we telling ourselves? Being able to have that as balance is meaning that I'm able to communicate effectively, that I'm able to share my message, that I have that confidence to be able to do that. When it's off, I could have where I have laryngitis. When it's off, I could just be where I'm not able to talk. I don't feel confident. I'm not able to express my truth, or maybe I don't even know what that truth is. Just being aware of it, noticing it, seeing if there's any sensation there. And now we're moving up into right between our brow. In chakra world, it's called third eye, brow chakra. In system, it's called the insight system. Beautiful purple. This is our system, our intuition. Are we tapped into that? Do we allow our inner guidance to guide us? When we're making programs, when we're meeting with potential clients, do we check into that intuitive system? Are we feeling guided, but we don't listen to that because, hey, we don't feel intuitive? When that is in harmony, again, things are happening with ease and flow. It goes back to that flow system. along with the heart, along with that intuitive. It's more of that yin energy, more of that feminine energy. When it's out of balance, we feel as if the universe doesn't have our back. We feel if we have the weight of the world on our shoulders, we feel as if we have to do everything. We feel lost. We feel scattered. We might even have insomnia because we can't sleep. We have a restless spirit. Just notice it. No judgment. Just being aware. It's this awareness that helps us to make shifts. And now we're moving up into our last system. This is the spirit system. The color is white. It's what connects us to divinity. It's what connects us to the universe. It's what connects us to each other. We're more alike than we are different. When that is off, we might have issues with just feeling, along with that intuition, feeling scattered, feeling disconnected from one another, feeling like we don't have a community. But when that's in harmony, we just feel like everything from that top of that spirit system all the way down to the root, it kind of balances everything. So just notice what you're feeling as I went through all these systems and these colors. Notice anything that might have popped up for you. Notice any sensations that you might have felt in your body with the words that I was speaking, or just with what your body was saying. Just notice it. Take note. Take a deep breath in. Release. And before we end, putting your hands over your heart and just thanking your heart and thanking your body for this time and for giving you any insights. And even if you don't have any insights, even if we went through this and you're like, nothing popped up for me, that's okay. Sometimes it can happen later. Maybe while we're doing this workshop, it might pop up. It could pop up this afternoon, evening. It could pop up later on. But just thanking your body and all your systems for the knowledge that it gives you now, later, and throughout the rest of your journey as a coach, as a heart-centered coach. And then wiggling your fingers, wiggling your toes, opening your eyes if they were closed, adjusting to the light. All right. So I would love to hear from anyone or everyone on anything that came up for them on this, anything they might have felt, even if you didn't feel anything, because that's okay. You know, we can be so judgmental. I was supposed to feel this or this. Nothing came up. So anything. Anyone want to share? Tony.
We started with the root chakra, and I immediately felt grounded as I thought about my core values and how I feel mostly strong and grounded when I'm in alignment with my core values, and how I can feel off from day to day if I'm out of alignment. That's how sensitive I am. So thank you for that. And today, as you were saying that, I felt really super strong.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I add something?
Absolutely.
So I felt when you were talking about the intestines and the colon and that part of the body, that you had said that oftentimes there could be digestive imbalances and things when you're questioning the value that you can offer to people, and it was linked to, you know, confidence. And I felt I resonated with that part of the conversation.
Oh, great. Thank you. Cindy, yes. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, I'll add in my two cents.
just starting out with that kind of that Earth Star root chakra reminds me the importance of just being in nature and connecting there, and that I don't do it enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thanks.
Thank you. I've learned to allow space, which is another thing that intuitive is, I am very much a talker. I am very much a, like, again, that doer, talker and stuff. And silence would really bother me. You know, like, it would be like if I'm in a room and someone's asking a question, then I'm thinking and no one's answering. Well, I got to answer because the silence, it was like, and I learned with clients over the years that, wow, allowing at least 2 to 3 minutes of that space, that silence, because not everyone is that processor of like talking like that, is actually where the magic happens. Because that is where they actually will share something that if I would have just like out, they would have just closed back up. But that is something. And we do that to ourselves. We go into our brain. We go into that instead of allowing that space for our heart to open up, because we might not feel comfortable or we might not trust that. So it's just a little side tip that I've learned that, you know, allowing for that space. And I have a tendency that I have to remind myself of that, of allowing for that, you know. So I am just curious, what, because I want to get with all of you, and if you feel comfortable just raising your hand on, and first I'll say for me, like through my life, when I first learned about these, my root system was off, like probably for most of my life, on that, you know, the scarcity mindset, the money, all of that stuff. And so my root system, and then when I got that more in harmony, I found my flow system, you know. And as I was saying, like our flow, our heart, and our flow, our heart, and our intuition are all kind of interconnected. That is more of that, like I said, yin energy, which is more of that feminine energy. Whereas our root and our fire system and our truth system, because if you think about it, those are kind of those doing, that's more of that masculine. And then the crown is like all, you know. So when you were listening to it, what, I'm going to go through them, and I would just want you to raise your hand if you felt these are actually in harmony, like you feel like, yes, I got that one, you know, like that. So root, how many feel like their root is in harmony? Okay. All right. How about sacral? Or sorry, sacral. See, I get, but the flow system in harmony. All right. Power system. Heart. The truth, insight, and spirit. All right. So it looks like that flow, which is exactly what we're talking about, right? That flow, that seemed like where people didn't feel like, you know, that flow and ease. So just so I know, so then I like really spend, you know, some more time on that. So in that, I was trying to say, like, you know, how with the root. So I'm going to go through each of the systems, tell a little bit, have you all share a little bit, and then just give you some little tips, you know, that you can use, intuitive tips that can help you with building you and your clients. Because what happens is when my root was off, let me tell you, all the clients, and this is also in my therapy clients, the ones that I would track, all of their root was off. In fact, when I work with my clients, I actually give them an assessment so that they can see which systems are off so that I can assist them on that. And I'm telling you, every single person that I gave, all of their root was just, it was just off. It was amazing because I thought, is this interesting? And that's when we get more, when we recognize, okay, whatever, you know, whether that's the divine, the universe, you know, intuition, spirit, God, what goddess is sending us what we need. And all we have to be is a couple steps ahead of them. We do not have all the answers at all. And that's heart-centered coaching. Because guess what? We're going to learn. I've learned so much that's helped me grow from my clients. I didn't have to have all those answers. I just needed to be open to receive from them so that it was like, oh, and it was like, they didn't know, but I was growing with them, you know? So with that root, so that root is, like I said, a lot of times with the root system, we feel overwhelmed. We feel stress. We feel scattered. We feel exposed and vulnerable. We also feel like, are we all going to get it all done as a business owner? You know, like, oh my goodness, there's so much. It's like, am I going to get this done? And then if we really look at it as in, you know, the systems of our body, a lot of times with all of that, because we're in that hustle bustle, what's the thing that gets, you know, out of balance is our adrenals, basically. That is the thing. That is the adrenals. So when you start looking at that and you listen to your clients who are saying, oh, all this information you shared with me, it's a little overwhelming. It's a lot, because we could be like, I got it all. Here it is. I mean, I've done that. I've printed it out. Now we'll have clients who, you know, want all that information, but there's others who are like, just give me a little bit at a time. It's overwhelming. Or if they're coming in and they're saying those words, then those are kind of like that feeling into like, oh, their adrenals could be off, you know? And it's like, okay. And then I know what we do. We switch over to our brain. Okay, what are the things that they need for the adrenals, and what are the tests I need to run, and blah, 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 blah. When really, yes, we have that information and that's great, but it's more into leaning into that. And then we go into, now I know what questions I need to ask them. Are you sleeping? Do you feel wired but tired? You know, I can just naturally go in there because all of you have all that information. But if we ask those powerful questions and we lean into it, we'll be able to be guided and not have to have all those answers and be able to assist them. So the other thing is we don't trust ourselves when that root, we don't trust ourselves and our abilities. You know, we don't, we feel like, I don't have enough. I need more information. I need more. And it's really like, no, we all, every last one of us have enough because we've all been in these programs. We have enough information. And then it's also a lot, the root is around money. Feeling like nobody's going to pay for what I have to say. So then I'll tell you, when I first started, I was doing a detox and I was charging $30 because I thought, well, I love people. I don't want them to think it's too much and blah, blah, blah. And I remember going to a networking event and us all talking about, you know, what our thing is, and people actually, they're going, I actually would not buy it because it doesn't cost enough money. So I don't think it's valuable enough. And that was an eye opener for me. Like, oh, wow. They were like, well, because I wouldn't even do the work or do the thing because it's just, you know, so me not valuing myself and what I'm bringing to the table made that energetically that I wasn't going to even attract people, even though I'm thinking, oh, this is a great deal. Everybody's going to do this, but they're not looking. They're looking at, well, I was giving off that I don't value myself because I'm not putting it at a price of all the information that I'm doing and all that support that I'm giving that they didn't value. And so I wasn't attracting anyone. I mean, I think that my first, yes, Tony, you have to unmute yourself.
I'm looking around the room and I'm sensing like, some like awareness that this feels like it hit someplace. Can anybody express that, whether or not this is hitting them someplace, like knowing, like with the pricing and the valuing of yourself? Is anybody here having that struggle? No, good, good. Yeah, yeah. It's common when you first start out, when you don't value yourself, or you're uncertain about that, there's that imbalance. So I saw the knowing. So I just wanted to see and make sure that people were, yeah. And
well, for me, this is just right. It's like, yep, this is what an affirmation for the thoughts going in my head, because so in the last month, I've signed up 3 people for my highest end program. Mm-hmm. And while there was just a titch of a pushback, it just went so easily. And I went,
So if you had to go back,
maybe it's not enough discomfort for them. So maybe and I've been thinking about this. I've been doing that seesaw balance, like you're talking about. Well, it's a little much, but maybe it's not, you know. So now I think I'm getting direction that yes, it's time to now raise my price a little bit. Wow. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Cassandra, for letting me interject.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Anytime. Please do.
There you go.
And if you guys have, like, any time, raise your hand so then Tony can unmute you. I'm fine with that. Like, yes, interrupt me. But yes, yes, and thank you. And, I mean, that is, you know, that – and we have to really – it's about feeling into that. I mean, I remember the first time that I, like, had a higher-end coaching package. And – being able to speak that, going back to my, you know, my truth system, it was, you know, like, oh my, I'm going to tell, like, I was like, it was just, and when they were like, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to pay it all, you know, so, but with that too, it's also, what are the stories we're telling ourselves about money? What we attract is exactly what, I mean, you look at yourself and why do you buy? What type of coach will you buy from? What makes you buy a high-end package, product, whatever? Looking at that, because that's what you're going to attract. Like if I'm saying, you know, for a while, like, oh, okay, payment plans or something, then I know that I'm going to attract clients who want payment plans, so I better have payment plans in there, you know? So it's really like looking at all that stuff, which we many times don't. We don't look at our own stories, you know? And that, and like I said, the root is red. So how many of you like the color red? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, that's another thing. It's like, what do I resonate? How many of you don't? You know, like, if you don't, you're like, oh, that red. Sometimes that, energetically, that color red. And it could be just wearing red. You know, you're like, okay, I'm about to meet with a client and I'm about to say this. I might have, you know, some red undergarments on. And blue, because I got to express this, and I do have a blue scarf on because I knew blue because I want to speak my truth to them and have that on there, you know? So red, you know, root is powerful. Other things, you know, with root, I guess when you all are listening to this, what do you think are some things that would actually, or what are you feeling? Not even thinking. What are you feeling would actually nourish your root?
Well, Lynn already talked about it. I'm walking through nature every single solitary day and touching a tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single solitary day, I engage with something that is energetically connected to me.
Nature's a huge one. The element that the root goes with is the earth, and us being out and being grounded and going outside and being barefoot. I love trees. I love hugging trees. I actually love, someone taught me and I thought, what is hugging the tree and breathing with the tree? You know, just like breathing that in, it grounds you. But then you're thinking probably like, well, that's all nice. I have these clients and I'm not going to get outside because I have these clients. So it could be something like, you know, a and I didn't bring anything. It could be just having a stone, you know, a stone, a piece of wood, something that grounds you. Absolutely. And where is my, so the other thing that can be grounding and protective are, redstone. So, oh, I do. Red jasper. Red jasper. Very grounding. So you could just have this. You could be sitting there. You could put it, I actually wear stones, so I put them down here and wear those. That's very much so. And this is something then, you know, when you're feeling into that, because some of you might be empaths, so you might can be like, all of a sudden, you know that you're grounded, but you're meeting with a client and they don't feel grounded. That's a key. It's like really tuning in. The more we tune into ourselves, the more we're tuning into them. So all of a sudden, we might feel restless, or we might feel like, what? This is really, my feet are starting to hurt or something. That's a great thing to say to the client. Are you feeling, you know, scattered? Are you feeling a little uneasy? Are you feeling a little overwhelmed? You know, and they're going to be like, wow, this person, I mean, like, so any other things? How about, you know, what other things? So if you think about, so there is nature, there's walking barefoot, there's anything in nature, trees, there's red stones, so red jasper. There's also black stones, you know, like this is, I think this one is obsidian, because they're very protective and very grounding. Other things, essential oils, anybody, what essential oil would somebody say would help nourish them? Yes.
Cedar wood.
Yes. Yes. I love cedar wood. I love the wood oils. Oh my goodness. Yes. Cedar wood, sandalwood. Yeah. Oh my goodness. They are all, I'm trying to think of my book. They're all, yes. And you know what you do? Just put them on the bottom of your feet. Put the oils on the bottom of your feet system, and they are. And I resonate with wood oils. I mean, I just always feel like I need to nurture myself and with grounded tools before I'm meeting with people, before any of that. So those are, yeah, all of those. And then one other thing, when you're thinking about food or herbs, which ones do you, would you feel like would nourish you and help with your root?
Root vegetables?
Yeah. Yeah, root vegetables. For me, it's protein. I have to have some protein, heavier protein to feel really in my body and feel grounded.
Right. Right. Yes.
Yeah, I need a little bit of fat. I need, you know, a little bit of fat, not a lot, not enough to weigh me down, like heavy, but enough to hold me down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Protein and root vegetables, which now most, all of us are, we all have experienced autumn, right? So that autumn time, you know, it's that autumn time. And we think about autumn and we think about in traditional Chinese medicine, and we could have clients who have issues that come up during this time of year. You know, during the autumn, autumn is a time of letting go, but autumn is also a time, if we think about it, is going into that winter. So we might feel worried, like naturally, like our ancestors were like, if we had ancestors who came from a cold climate, like, oh, did we have enough food to, so that we can make it through the winter time? But that means we could have clients, and this is going to show up where we're looking, you know, we're trained to look at it physically, but energetically, what's going on with them during this time of year? Autumn time used to always be, I hated autumn. Autumn was because that meant winter was coming and I didn't like the cold. I like sunshine. I like spring and summer. But I've become to appreciate root vegetables, beets and parsnips and all that, and sweet potatoes. And I've come to the change in the leaves, all of those things. And so, and the other thing is, just so if we think about it, what did we talk about? We talked about adrenals. So really good ashwagandha. You know, like that ashwagandha root and dandelion root. Look at, these are like roots. They're like woody, you know, like, but those are even great for when we're feeling like that. This is about like us tapping into our intuition and being more of a heart-centered coach is also nourishing ourselves and seeing what we need during each day, each minute of the day, each season, and doing that for ourselves and becoming intuitive in our choices. Like sometimes I feel like I need ashwagandha. Sometimes I don't. Because this also helps that, yes, these certain things, but we also want to teach our clients how to do that. And how we teach them is with us. So any other things on like root, that anything's coming up for people? Red.
Yeah.
Cindy.
I was going to say that one of the things that I find nourishing is just having a conversation with my family. Like when I go back and visit my parents, my sister, there's something that comes back to my memories, and it helps me feel more grounded because I live in the city now. So going back to the country and just associating with it is helpful.
I love that, Cindy. Mm-hmm. And that's such a great point because the root is also connected to family and community and ancestors and mm-hmm. all of that, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is beautiful. And that is, you know, and mm-hmm. having that and being able to feel grounded and rooted. Because you think about the roots, our roots connected to our family or whoever we deem as our family, you know. So beautiful. Thank you. All right. So
I'm going to pause here. And I just want to do a energy check in. Is anybody uncomfortable with this? Does it feel foreign? Does it feel helpful? Do you feel, are you in your left brain? How are we feeling? Yeah, I'm looking at you. How does it feel? Just check in. Jill, how's this landing for you?
It's really good. I can see that I need to strengthen my root chakra, and I love the suggestions that were just given of things to help ground me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do some of those because I like that.
Good.
It also makes me think about, I've always been very attracted to root vegetables. and maybe that there's a reason for that. Of course, you know, potatoes don't really like me because they raise my blood sugar, but I sure like them. Even though I don't eat them anymore. So,
yeah. And that share that you gave earlier about feeling overwhelmed and all that may have a lot to do with the need to feel rooted. So, thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to check in. Valerie, how's this landing for you? Where is it landing?
I'm enjoying the discussion. I have known for years that my root is weak. But also on top of that, right now I'm just really physically tired. So if I look like my eyes are glazed over, it has nothing to do with you. It's me.
Didn't pick that up at all. I'm just doing a check-in. And thank you for sharing that. Michelle.
So, yeah, the information is there, how I feel. Honestly, it's... I just have to put it lower. I want it coming quietly and silently to me. So I'm just kind of reflecting in the background.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Angelica.
This really hits home for me because the last few years I was really, really ungrounded and spacey and like, really just literally floating in outer space, like by myself. And that all the things that Cassandra mentioned about how when the root's off, everything else gets it all out of whack. It just resonates so much. And and this, the discussion just helps me understand more that I moved back to in with my family, and that was a really hard decision because it wasn't like a brain decision. It was just like, I really need this. And so just, yeah, continuing to do things to root myself and without judgment, just whatever I need to feel safe is what I'm going to do.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Kimberly.
Just loving the opportunity. Excuse me. I'm sneezing a little today. A little congested. I'm loving the opportunity and the invitation just to really tune in inward and be curious about these different centers in the body. And so nice to hear your voice, Cassandra. It's just so soothing. And it's so, I do a lot of this work internally on my own, and to be in a group and have it guided is just like so nice, just to not work as hard and let the energy of the group and letting your guidance be there instead of my brain. It's I'm enjoying it so much.
Thank you. Lynn? Thank you, Kimberly.
I've been thinking about this recently. I'm fascinated that all the different systems and modalities fit together, that we have Chinese medicine, and autumn is long and dryness and everything that goes with that, and the chakra systems that balance that out, and we're just moved into Scorpio, and Scorpio is red, and it's all about that, and I just am fascinated the way it all works out. I was thinking that I'd been really called to be outside and doing certain yoga things like warrior pose. And I'm like, oh, I bet that has a lot to do with this as well. So I, like Kimberly said, I love being in conversation with people that it stimulates this heart brain connection of how it all flows. So thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to share at this point, I did a check-in. I feel really good about the share. So I feel like you all are being taken care of, which I knew you would be. So I'm going to use this time, this gift that Cassandra gave to me as well, to stand in mountain pose and really just feel. So I may not be interacting right now. I'm going to rely on her to interact with you all. But this is where I am now. I'm feeling like strong mountain pose and just like Michelle, reflect. I'm a bit of an empath. And so I need to be still with it. Thank you for sharing, everyone.
Yes, thank you for that. Thank you, Tony. So are we ready to move up into the flow system, where I felt like less people felt like that was in harmony, and is one that I have been challenged with, along with the root and the flow. I think I've had challenges with all of them most of the time. So that flow system, again, that orange, and really, I even wrote a story about, like, I never felt creative because I felt like in school, in art class, I mean, I still draw stick figures. I just didn't feel like, you know, because I felt like creative. So that's another thing, like our stories. What story are you telling yourself? I felt like a creative person was someone who painted and they like danced for the longest time. I felt like I didn't have rhythm. I mean, like all those things. And so I was like, I'm not creative, you know, like, no. But creation can be the fact that you create programs, the fact that you're meeting with clients, the fact that you are a business owner, like birthing, even if you're not, you know, creation is whatever you did. Creating a meal. I was creative doing that. I love creating meals. I love using all the colors. I love taking pictures of it. And I was like, oh, that is considered creativity. So I was very like, yes, yes, I'm creative. So it's kind of like challenging yourself on like, I am creative, because we all are. I'm going to tell you, we all are, whatever that creation is. So really like just taking a moment to feel into that and say, okay, what things have I created, or where am I, you know, creative in my life? It could be the way you dress. You just know how to put things together, you know, how you do your hair. It doesn't have to be that you have to be a painter. You could be, you know, it could be writing, whatever that is. Also, the flow system is also about emotions, and it's about relationships. So this is one is how are you in, you know, you might not like developing business partnerships, because you just don't like that relationship part, you know? So it's just like kind of looking at that. And then it goes back to, like we were saying, that flow and ease. Do I have a flow and ease in my business? Do I have a flow and ease when I'm meeting with clients? Do I have a flow and ease in my life? You know, and this does not mean, like I said, it doesn't mean like you get up and you're just like, I'm just going. I mean, you could. Right now I'm like so I've changed. I used to work nights for 18 years, bedside nurse. And then I got in, and now I'm in a management position. It is a very doing job, very doing. And I've learned that the only way I'm going to be able to do this job effectively is to create sacred space for myself each and every day. That's the only way I'm going to have. I'm going to have jags and all this stuff and fires coming up, but that's the only way. And I've done that, like creating whatever that means. Sacred space doesn't mean you could have a official sacred space where you have what you want, but it can just be like getting up and breathing. Mine is getting up, breathing, lighting incense and candle and meditation and journaling and all that and supporting myself. So that's grounding, but that's also helping me to be in flow. So I know a lot of you had said, you know, the flow system, you were feeling like, mine's a little out of balance and stuff. So what are things that you've done or can do or what you're feeling right now would be beneficial in nourishing your flow system?
I can share. I've been checking in lately. Whenever I feel motivated or driven to do something, I question, where's that coming from? Is that coming from obligation, just patterning, or is that what I really need? And it's kind of, it's a funny thing. Like sometimes I'm like, what would my heart do right now? I ask myself that. And when I ask myself that question, I usually like make the right choice and then I feel more in flow rather than like I'm pounding the pavement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Like that. Yes. Yes, Kimberly.
Water. I need to take baths. I need to be in water outside, drink more water, like really be in tune with the flow of the water.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that is the flow. So if we look at it again, it's that water system, you know, it resonates. Like we had the root was the earth and the flow is the water, and it's oils and fats actually help with that. And so that's, and now if we're thinking about autumn, which Lynn had mentioned, we're dry. So I actually feel like I need more water. I've been taking, actually that's been part of it too, is taking baths. You know, and you could add Epsom salt to it if you, you know, you could add essential oils. You could add, you know, rose petals, you know, I mean, you can make it, you could add like candles and really like just allow yourself to be in that water, you know, and absolutely drinking water, you know, all those things help nourish that. I actually, and this is a fun thing to do, and probably a couple years ago when I was working on my flow system, I'll make like different essential oil blends. And so it's orange and it used to say in the flow, but over the time, and then I use like wild orange. I used wild orange, a little bit of Lang Lang, which is really good because that brings out, because you know what else the flow system about? Playfulness, creativity and playfulness and that inner child. So Lang Lang helps to do that. I also put passion. So the doTERRA blend, oh, just so disclaimer, I do have a financial relationship with doTERRA. So that's why. Disclaimer, but passion blend, they have, because I was like, this is also about purpose and passion, you know? So I put some of that in there and I can't remember what else. I might even put a little bit of cinnamon or something and I would use this and just kind of set my attention. So you can do that. It creative, right? Playful. So those are good, you know, ways to nourish that. And the other thing, like I said, this system goes along with, and when you're working with yourself and stuff, and if you have things, is it could be like, that's our reproductive area, you know, and things could be popping up, or we could have pain down there, or things aren't, you know, functioning the way they do, or is it something like that? So that can show up, you know. So I'm going to do a little thing. So another thing that can help, and we're all going to do this because this is also about being playful. A lot of times we get all this information. This helps us to get back into our right side. And I know that I'm giving you information. So I'm going to do that. Is, can anyone guess what it's going to be? What's a playful thing to do to really ignite your flow system? Dancing. I'm going to tell you, things that happen, this is a energy shifter. I am telling you, and you do not, I told you, I did not have rhythm for years. I probably sometimes still don't. But I will be in a mood or I'll feel stuck energy or any of that. You know what I do? I put on some music and I just dance it out. I mean, I dance. It's also usually part of my ritual in the morning with all that. Like I do all that meditation stuff and everything. And then I'll turn on some music. It can be anything. It's really, I tune into what do I feel? If I need grounded, it might be something more with drums. If I need flow, it'll be something more flowy, you know? If it's more spiritual or intuitive, I just do something that. It is like, I'm telling you, a game changer. Of doing that. So I'm going to see if this, okay. Wow. You know how they have the commercials. It says my video will play after the ad. Okay. All right. Here we go. Can you get, so everyone move any kind of way, no judgment. All right, that's what I'm talking about, Angela. All right, woo! I mean, it just didn't you, I want to ask, how did you feel like doing it? Did you feel like you had a shift? If you didn't, that's okay. But did you feel like something shifted? Anyone? I was going to say, Michelle really shifted. She went upside down or something. Okay. Anyone?
Yeah, I was dancing just the other night. I went to some event and then I wasn't expecting, but it turned into a dance party. And I love dancing. I do it as my hobby too, but I just thought like damn girl, you need to loosen up. Like, it's almost like I have to retrain myself to loosen up, which is scary.
Yeah.
Oh. I do want to share something with you all. So I like to move my body as well. If I'm in a position where I don't have enough room, or because I'm distracting other people and I can't move, I tap and get blood flowing. And it's almost like I ran around the block. Just tap those lymph areas, the meridians. And it's almost like dancing. Dancing is my go-to, though, obviously. But that's, you can always flow even in place. If you just tap.
Yeah. I know even for me, it made a difference. I mean, it shifted my energy. It just, it lightens me up. Like, it just, it's light, and it helps me to be like, okay, it just shifts me more into that flow. You know, it's really, you know, so that said, it's an easy thing that doesn't take a long time, or even like Tony was saying, doing that, and it just, you know, and it could just be a quick, quick thing, but I can be in a mood and I feel like it really, I'll be in stuck energy. I'll be like angry and you know, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, you know what I need? I need to put on some music and I need to dance it out. And I'll be like, ah. And I mean, and in that you could also use your voice and like, ah, you know, like, but you could, and it's like a game changer. Then I sit back down. I'm like, wow, I feel good, you know, and that energy is gone. You know, it's like the water coming in and, you know, taking out the debris.
It's infectious too. Like when you start dancing, then the energetically, other people will join in. It's just, it's like one big old energy fireball.
Yes.
I love to see you dance. I do, because you're so into it, and you just dance like nobody's looking. You just
yeah, I do.
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, all right. So, any things come up for people on the flow system? Anything before we move on to the fire system, the power, that power system? All right. So the power system, that is all this. So that's all our abdomen, our digestion and everything. And it's also the place that we protect a lot, right? It's that place where our confidence lives. So if I don't feel confident, and you can tell this a lot, you can tell this, you know, this is a great thing on looking at, you know, people's body language and really looking at, and not judging it, just looking at it and looking at my own. Like if I feel confident, I am going to be open and like wide open. If I'm feeling like almost like unsure, insecure, you can see people, it's more like this. And it's not a judgment. It's just an awareness like, huh? Well, what would help me? What do I need to do to shift that energy to be more confident? Or maybe this is a key that, no, I shouldn't be doing this program for somebody. Or maybe this isn't the thing that I need to be telling them. My brain is telling me, yeah, they need this. But my body is saying, no, withdraw. This is actually not the thing that you need to be sharing. You know, because it can be like that, that confidence of your body telling you, yes. Yes, let them know that, or no, don't let them know that. Like I said, for us as coaches, it can feel that we have to do it all. So this is also our boundary system. You know what I mean? So this is like how I set boundaries. Do I always say yes? I used to say yes, but not because I was afraid of saying no. I realize that. It's just because I just like doing. Give me more. Like I'm like the super volunteer. Oh, you need a volunteer. I felt that. But do we have, because we feel like we're not going to be liked? Do we say it? You know, we have to really check in and see, where is that coming from? If my plate is so full that I don't have time to self-care, that I don't have time to really check in with myself. Why is that? Like, this is our energy system. So what is it? And this is a question to ask yourself. What is it that gives you energy? Meaning like that you're, that things that you're doing and things that you're like leaning into. And what is it that depletes your energy? And the more that you do that, you'll get in tune to it. I will know. If someone asks me something now and all of a sudden I'll feel it. Like it's almost like I want to protect myself and I'll be like, oh, so this is a good way too. Oh, let me think about that. Let me check my schedule and get back to you. If you don't feel like you can say no right then and there. And then you can really go home and go into it and say, huh, where is this coming from? Or is it like, yes, well, my challenge is I have to be careful because everything excites me, you know, that bright and shiny. And Tony knows this, so I have to always say that to protect just my energy and my time and my resources. So it's also... If we think about that, and we're thinking it's also where we can be easily, we can feel burned out. It can be that we have so many things that we do, you know, that we just don't have time. This is also where that whole mindfulness comes in, and mindfulness eating. So this is also, think about what this system is. It's that it's also embodies the digestive system, our pancreas, which has our blood sugar and everything. So not only what gives us energy in our business, but what foods are we eating? What foods are our clients eating, you know, that are depleting our energy and that are giving us energy? And that's all, you know, it's very much individualized, but it's really us paying attention, and our bodies will tell us right away. It'll tell us right away. We could do something, and if we're feeling so depleted from it, like, and I mean not the depleted of like, a lot of us could be extroverts and we get energy from being out, and then many of us are introverts that, you know, we need that restorative time. But this is more like, it's just really draining energy, you know, not from, you know, and so it's being aware of that. So what do you think, like, what do you all feel would help to nourish your power system? Or what have you used? Or what would you like to use? What is your body telling you? I need you, you know, yes, it's off. We need this. And you can just breathe into that and really ask yourself, like, what do you need? So I know that one of the things that I love, and I actually did a whole talk on bergamot. Love bergamot. It is a great essential oil for putting it on your abdomen. It has been shown, they actually have shown that this is like, you know, but I'm not even going to go into all that because that's really, but they have shown, science has shown that actually this helps to boost confidence. So I like bergamot or bergamot blend and putting that on. Yes.
So I thought I had it here, but I'm not seeing it. But I have a citrine stone that I like to use when I'm needing to feel that fire, that power. So I thought I had it here though, but I don't.
Oh yes. Citrine is very good. Pyrite and tiger's eye, which is also good for the root, but tiger's eye, that's a great one. So these are easy and you might think, oh, a stone, really? You know, but it just kind of energetically helps you to shift that, you know, and again, you know, you think about the foods that give you energy and the foods that deplete you, the people. So this is also going back into the whole, what clients are drawn towards us. Like, you know, at the beginning, Tony was talking about, like, she doesn't really, that's not her thing, marketing. She doesn't market, you know, but when you are clear in your what type of client you want and you're clear and stuff like that, you'll start attracting them. But you also have to be clear is, are these people, if they're not in alignment with who you're supposed to work with, let me tell you, you will feel drained. You will feel, I have clients that I just knew after the first session, I was not going to be the best person for them. You know why? Because I felt drained. Not because I didn't know the information, not because I couldn't assist them, help them on their journey. I felt drained and I knew that that would be challenging. And so I would give them to somebody who I thought would, you know, and that is just very, it's like, but then you would have to be okay because you could be like, oh, but I need the money. I need the money. So I'll take these different, but that's really like going in and saying, you know what? No, this person, like it's just energetically, we're not a good match and they drain me. And there's other clients. I'm like, yes. Yes, oh my, they're like my client. Like, because I just felt like, oh, energetically, I was excited. I felt energized, you know, so it's really checking in with that.
Kimberly and I talked about that last week with the group about, you know, all money's not good money. And I have invited people to get serviced elsewhere for that very same reason. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. There's no amount of money that's worth the energy drain. No.
Let me tell you, it really isn't. I've done it and it has been challenging. It was hard because I didn't set boundaries in the beginning, you know, because the boundary was I should have never took that client. And as a result, they're calling me, they're this. And I felt like I was just working and it was draining me. Whereas people who I'm in alignment with, oh my goodness, I don't feel like I have to work at all with that. So I want us to do, and then I just got a page from work, but before that, I want us to do something that has been shown, actually somewhat, some not, depending on the thing, but the power pose. So we're going to have to stand up. And if you guys have seen this, and they have a whole YouTube video, and they've shown this, but there's been mixed studies. I've saw some that say actually it doesn't, but I find that it does. It's the superwoman pose. If we go like this, you know, and we just kind of, they say standing there for 2 minutes like this actually helps you to feel more confident. Like I said, her study, when it was repeated, showed that actually not as many people felt confident. But for me, I feel like it's a pose. You feel grounded. You feel rooted. And I don't know. I was a Wonder Woman. I loved Linda Carr and Wonder Woman. I was like, you know. So for me, it works. You have to see what works for you, you know, but just kind of standing there and saying yes. But if you notice energetically, it does open you up. It opens up your heart. It opens up your shoulders. You feel grounded. So I feel like, at least in the systems why, that it's grounding you, rooting you, opening up your heart chakra, opening up your fire system, and then, you know, you feel ready to, you know, accomplish what you need to accomplish. So, yay! So, Tony, will you see how people felt with that?
You go take care of that. We're probably going to take a 10-minute break. Would this be a good time? I'll see how they, you go ahead and take care of you, and I'll check in with everybody.
Okay, and I'll be right back. It won't be, okay.
All right. So all of us have, I guess, different levels of being. And so some of this could seem kind of hard. You know, that Wonder Woman pose when we, as females, have not been invited to be strong in that way, or we forced ourselves into the party. And so I want to invite you to, you know, I just want to share that when we're feeling strong like that, still stay in your feminine energy. Stay in your feminine energy. You can be strong without being forceful. There's, you know, Lynn, you talked about the warrior pose, right? There's the warrior that's ready, and then there's the other warrior, right? So just use your energy. Figure out what pose works for you for where you need to be for male-female balance. And I'll leave that there. So how did everybody feel with the Wonder Woman pose? Did it feel good, bad, meh?
Go, Lynn.
Thank you for letting me talk. Sure. So what's interesting to me is I felt good and then I felt bad because it felt good. That would be my life. It's like, oh, that feels good. Oh, shame on you for feeling good. So I just thought that was interesting.
That, love that. There's a story there. There's information. How wonderful that you were able to raise the awareness without judging yourself. Because I heard you say that with a smile, like just noticing. Just noticing. Anybody else? Go, Angelica.
I like the fact that we get to, and I'm so glad you said that, to associate this power pose with our femininity, because I find for myself lately, I'm just so exhausted of being that powerful person, that non-gender, like powerful doer. And I think our society like promotes that behavior, and it just feels good to be powerful, but to still be grounded in femininity. So that came up for me.
Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else want to share? I see smiles.
Okay, I have to respond to that. I don't have to, but I'm choosing to.
Go for it.
So we have this perception of the feminine as not having power and being weak.
Very powerful.
And it's very powerful, but it's a feminine powerful. It is not a masculine powerful. And you can be balanced with your masculine and feminine. So anyway, thank you for letting me.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I could not. So I don't know how many of us came from a corporate environment or even worked in a corporate environment for like, more than 5 minutes, they beat you into submission, right? So you come in there as a female, and the idea is male dominated. So yeah, I know you wear a dress, but we're going to pretend wink, wink, we don't see it. And so you take on that masculine energy. So for those of us who left that and coming into our own business, ask yourself, am I bringing that learned behavior of masculine energy into my business? It's possible. I did early on because it started not feeling good. And I said, well, that's why you left that, right? So just think about that. We could be bringing that on, that learned behavior pattern. Anybody else? I mean, most people came from some corporate, and if you didn't, it's okay. It didn't have to be corporate. It could be, playground, boys dominate. So we've never invited them into our world because it's their world, and they tell us if you want to play, you have to be like one of the boys. So I'm like Lynn, I encourage you to embrace your feminine energy. Nothing in the world is more powerful. You cannot out testosterone a man. You cannot out masculine a man. But bring your feminine energy into your business. And oh my goodness, watch what happens. Watch your energy rise to that, as opposed to the masculine energy, which is going to deplete us all day, every day. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story and my take on it.
Can I add that I think it's so important also not to judge ourselves and our lack of ability to be like a man, right? Because in business, it's kind of, my assumption was it was expected that I act a certain way to be successful in business and then feel bad about myself when I couldn't do it that way, yeah. Right? But to know that my way of doing my business coming from my feminine power instead of the masculine power is okay. Mm-hmm. It's just different. It looks a little different.
Exactly. It takes a lot of courage. I did that within that environment and still got promoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Yeah,
but when I tried to go up against the man to man, I got beat down every time. Yeah. So, thank you for sharing that. I think it's important for us to, be aware of that. So I'm thinking that we should take a little bit of a break, 10 minutes. It's exactly 30 minutes after the hour where I am. So I'll catch you all in 10 minutes.
Okay. Hey, Tony.
Sure.
Is it okay? Are you guys okay with me being on the phone for the rest of, and no video for the rest?
Absolutely.
Something came up that I have to go deal with and would like to still hear as I have to take care of something.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for me not to be on video.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Okay. I'm going to pause. All right. And we're back from our break. And I'm going to go ahead and let Cassandra pick up where she left off.
All right. So hopefully you had a discussion about the confidence pose, the power pose, actually. So we'll move right on up because to the love system, the love system. How many of you used to watch The Love Boat? That's right. The Love Sister reminds me of that. Saturday nights, it used to come on 9 o'clock. Used to watch with my grandmother. Aww. Loved it. So when we're on balance on this one, what happens is we tend to overgive in our business and to our clients, thinking, you know, it comes from that, like, if you think about how that's related, if I'm overgiving, it's probably because I think, oh, they're only going to trust me or want my services is because I have to give and give and give. We also have trouble receiving, which I have been guilty of for many years. It would be like, nope. And, you know, but I would actually teach my clients, because they were overgivers too, is when they go to a store, I should ask all of you, when you all go to a store, do you go and when you have the time, are you going in that self-checkout? Are you, when you go up there, do you feel like you need to bag your groceries, or do you have somebody else bagging them? So anybody want to tune into that?
So not only do I go to have somebody bag it, they walk me to the car. They walk me to the car, and I gladly accept it.
Moms.
Exactly. But I will notice that if I go to a store other than Moms, I don't expect the same level of service. I don't receive it. So I go to the self-checkout. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the environment, I guess, for me. Yeah. But I like receiving, I'm just saying.
How about someone else? I wanna go back on that, on Tony's thing, but anybody else have trouble, like feel like they have to bag their groceries, even though it's offered?
Some stores just, they automatically do it, and the ones that don't, I guess I just do it. I don't do the self-checkout line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
I just don't like doing the self. It's like, oh. So maybe that's a step in the right direction.
It is. When we look at that, it's like, these are services, and then we might have this whole thing, well, you know, oh, but I feel bad, and they, you know, whatever. But the more we are open to receive, the more we will receive. When we say, no, I got it, and I was one of those people for years, I got it. Think about it. Well, then I'm really telling the universe, nope, I got it. And everything. And then I'm sitting up there complaining. Like, nobody does anything for me. Nobody thinks about me. Nobody. But also think about how that plays out as a coach, as a business owner. It's going to play out in me being able to receive money. It's going to play out in me overdoing because I'm the giver. And I'm not saying you're not going to support them. But it also plays out as we can see how that's connected to our root, where if I don't value myself and I'm not in the flow, so I've got to work harder, my confidence, and then it goes right up into my heart and we think, oh, I'm a giver, but am I receiving? And remember when I said I've learned that my time with my clients, I'm also receiving. I am learning so much for them. I don't have to be the expert. Yes, I know, and I can guide them along their journey, but I do not have to be the expert. That's a lot to be the expert, right? I mean, I think it is. We also have the martyr self-sacrificing tendency. We are busy doing for others. And this is the other thing. We don't make time for self-care. I mean, I don't have time. So that just will impact how I even show up for my clients. I mean, for example, today, so I had this. I see clients in my private practice as a therapist on Saturday. And I had two this morning, so I changed their times. And I had no problems with changing their times. And if they couldn't do it, I would just have to cancel. I mean, but in the some years ago, I wouldn't be able to do that. I needed to have my time. That's also about in between. Are we booking? If we have a thriving business, booking people back to back. Is it that we have something to do, but we're so scared, like they're not going to call us back, so we don't, again, about those boundaries, and we're not like saying, well, you know what, this is the day that works for me. I'm not saying that we're not going to be flexible. All of us are very flexible, and we're givers, and we know that, but how we start our client, you know, coach relationship is how it's going to continue, you know, and we're setting that, and we're also role models. So am I taking care of myself? Am I doing that? You know, so those are really things with that heart that we don't necessarily think about, because all of us are loving and all of us are compassionate and all that. But those things on, think about it. When I breathe, I receive and I give. I receive and I give. It's a cycle. It's that giving and receiving. It's that giving. And if I'm overly, you know, like, or, you know, I'm going to have some problems. So what are some things that you all do to nourish your love system? That could be self-care wise, or where do you feel like you have blocks? Anything with this one, you know, blocks. Any of you resonate with that kind of, oh yeah, when I used to go to Trader Joe's, I would always, there was some type of guilt, like I needed to bag and everything, you know. Now I receive. And the more I'm open to receive, I'm telling you, I'm like one of those people who win. Like, that's what I was thinking about Tony. If you've ever noticed Tony at the Shine event, she's always winning. She wins. She wins. Because guess what? You're telling the universe, yes, yes, I'm open. Bring it on. Shower me. Shower me.
So true. So true.
So that's the key to manifesting, is just being open to receive, really. But anybody, anything people want to share, or where that showed up by even hearing this, where that showed up in your body, or things that you do to nourish your heart?
I find that if I come from that place of heart-centered love, it manifests more freely and in a very lovely way. Rather than coming from a place of fear, it's just real closed. It's like everything, like you said before, just expands. But when I'm in fear and try to manifest, it's just like, yeah, probably not going to happen.
So true. So true.
Can I add something? When I think about self-care, I know sometimes we take it in pockets, right? Like, I'm going to carve out this time, which I do. I have my rituals. I don't do anything usually before 10 in the morning. But they're also self-care, loving things I do for myself during the day. So I very rarely have back-to-back clients, very rarely. So I give myself a half hour in between just to breathe. Just so whatever energy I got from that other client, that it's cleared and I'm not taking it to the next client or the next call. And to me, that's an ultimate act of self-care for me, energetically.
I want to piggyback on that, what you said, Tony, because I think I've learned that as I've, you know, gotten more clients, is the importance of doing something in between. First of all, doing something at the beginning, And I forgot to bring my singing bowl. A lot of times I'll ding my singing bowl, because if you know about singing bowls, and actually my singing bowl has a tone, because each chakra has a tone. So it's the tone to the root chakra, but I'll ding that, but it can be, you know, whatever. The other thing that I do sometimes, because I do have clients back to back, but I will go to the bathroom, not to go to the bathroom, but actually to wash my hands. So just that ritual of cleansing my hands is letting go of the energy from that client. But the other thing is, we go back to, and we remember Kimberly talking about water. That's water. It helps me get into the flow. It's really grounding me, because now I'm hearing, if I'm in that present moment, taking that breath and grounding myself before I go in with another client. It could be as simple as that. It could be, let me breathe and let me come to this present moment. It can be one of my favorite things too. I don't do it all the time between clients. I usually do it at the end of all my sessions, is sage. Like, sage actually helps to clear that energy. For me, it's really clearing my energy. Like, if I felt like, oh my goodness, that was a lot of heavy stuff on my heart, I will use and like cleanse and do sage, burn sage bundles, you know. They also have sage spray, you know. And my other favorite, like, if I'm after a day, like I said, so I have a new position. Well, it's over almost a year and a half, but it still feels new. And a lot of stuff can happen. I have 71 people under me, so I'm responsible for 71. So if you can imagine, and it's three different units, the amount of stuff that could come up. And sometimes it's heavy stuff and it's a lot of stuff. And I feel like, and my heart feels very like heavy and overwhelmed and all that. And geranium. Has anyone ever used geranium? I don't actually like the smell of geranium. It was something that I didn't like for the longest, but I realize it's something that I need, and I've been drawn more to it. Geranium actually helps to release past baggage and negative emotions. It lifts the spirit and fosters peace and hope. It helps heal and tear down barriers and release anger. And I'm going to tell you, I will use this. And I'm just going to warn you, when you use this, it will bring up emotions. I used this once when my heart was heavy. And I was driving to work, and I thought I was just going to be like crying. Like, I felt so emotional, but that's because it needed to release. And so, just so you know that, but that is because, what do? We push those things down, you know? So you might not maybe want to use this if you're going right into another session with somebody, but at the end of your day or at the start of the day, to do that. Other things people use, or would like to use. The other thing, so I knew I was going to be on this, and I wanted to connect to you all, to my heart. I tell you, rose quartz. This is great. I wear this when I'm wanting to really be in that heart center. And I actually do this more when I know that I'm going to have a challenging client conversation day. Actually, I just put this right down there and do that. So rose, and rose oil, it has the highest vibrational frequency, and it opens one's hearts up and soul to love and spiritual alignment. So those are some nice ones. All right. Oh, and I saw that Tony was drinking green juice. Green, the color green. So if we're going to look at vegetables and fruits and all that stuff, green is great. And that could be even in the food. So greens. And then if you think about like expansiveness, so when do most of those greens come out? Most of the time, springtime, it's new growth. It's expansiveness. It's opening up. The other thing is, so it goes back into that intuitive. There are days when I feel like I need nettle, which is green. You know, I feel like, and it does help for me to be more open. So, all right. So moving on up, that truth. So I just want you all to just take a moment to really take a pause and ask yourself, am I living my truth? Am I being my truth? And you don't have to share it. You can if you had also the aha. Because this is it can be a challenging one, you know, on the truth. It's, you know, where we can be, if we're not in alignment with our truth, that can make it very much more of a hustle in our business. When we're not in alignment with our truth, our boundaries are affected. When we're not in alignment with our truth, we're saying yes to things that will drain our energy. And I've done it. I've done it, you know, for whatever reason, I've done that. And I think as you get older, I'm realizing as I'm going into menopause that, yeah, it is true. When you start going up that hill, you're just like, oh, no, no. You are able to set those boundaries and be like, oh, no. And you're able many times to, you know, speak more of your truth. But the other thing is, and my truth system was never underactive, because this is also, truth could be overactive. You're opinionated. You talk more than you listen. And you're very outspoken. That has been my tendency. So I've had to work on the opposite of being, let me listen. And that's for us as especially as coaches, as practitioners, as business owners, really listening, but not just listening with our ears, listening with our heart and listening with our soul. Because when we do that again, you will have more flow and ease. So much more flow and ease, let me tell you, than to just shooting out the information, you know. Anybody use any type of essential oil to help with their true system? Or might think of one that would help?
I don't know what's coming to me, and it may not be for that, but periodically I'll use frankincense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can, because it helps with your intuition. Mm. You know, like frankincense is very, it grounds you and helps with your intuition. Hence why I think for you, it'll help you with your truth. My favorite, and what they've shown, is actually lavender. And even before I got on here, I rubbed lavender on my throat. This is great. If you're about to have a challenging conversation, like you have to call the phone company and they put you on or the cell, and they're like, and you're like pressing the button because they're like, if you want to, and you're just like, give me an operator, or you want to ask for something. The truth system is about us expressing ourselves, you know? And I have found lavender is very good. Just rubbing it on there. I think also lavender is because it's relaxing. So it relaxes you. But it has been, you know, shown. And I know. I have Lynn will know about this one. I can't even think. Chrysocolla. That is a great stone. I love eggstone. It improves communication and promotes truth-telling. So it doesn't mean like you're lying, but, you know, so that you're in alignment with your truth. Has anyone felt like they've gotten stuck on this one, you know, anywhere where their truth system?
So this is the first area, I don't know how many years ago, I remember waking up one day and realizing that was the first area I've ever felt stuck. I felt like my heart was just encased in black rubber. And I spent many years working on it. where it just suddenly started to crack a little, and I could see like green light shooting out from it. And that, I mean, I knew about chakras before that, but that's when I had a personal experience with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Lynn. How this can show up in your clients, and this will give you, this is a story that with one of my clients actually recently that has, it'll have a little bit of all the systems in it. Was one is I, with this new position, I've had less time to actually see, to coach health and wellness coaching and, you know, nutritional endocrinology, you know, educating and everything. So I've had less time to do that, but I had a client who is the client who actually took my first detox when it was $30, which was like 8 years ago. And she wanted to do my detox. Well, my prices have totally increased, but she did it, and she wanted her mother to do it. And she did. And talking about attracting my ideal client was, as she was talking, I, like I said, I have them fill out an assessment that shows which system is off and everything. And her two systems that were off was her sacral and her truth system. She had said this early on without telling me some of her other medical things. Anyway, she started talking about that she doesn't usually go to doctors or anything, but she went in her labs and they discovered that she had some thyroid issues. And as the more she talked, the more I listened, the more we discovered, like, and then I just threw it out that said, that is something that I actually work with people with. I said, you know, after this detox, if you would like, I could sit, you know, I can work with you and assist you on that. And this is all before, I probably wouldn't have even said that, you know. And then she said, okay. And she did want to do that. And I sent her my packages and everything. But even prior to that, she talked about how we just really explore that. Like, what areas does she feel like she's not living her truth? And she said she used to be a business owner. She started working at a regular job. And she feels like she's not living her truth because the story she's told herself about not having her business. She also had, like, fibroids. So that whole flow system. So it was so interesting for her to do that and then for us to piece that in. And then she doesn't write her journal. She actually does voice journals because we talked about things that could help use her voice and do those things. And I was just in awe that she was so in tune to what she needed and that she would only use the doctors for labs and everything. And even that she decided to like, oh yes, I want to work with you. And she goes, but I'm going to wait till January just because she was working on other things. So even her knowing and setting her own boundaries. And I was just like, oh, my ideal client. Yes. And I didn't do anything. I mean, she reached out to me. So as you can see, but the hint there is what can show up is thyroid issues. And like I said, sore throats for yourself if you feel like, you know, and not being able to speak your truth. So just wanted to share that. All right. So we're going to move on up. Two more systems. Insight. The insight system. Actually, a lot of you were like, no, mine is in harmony. Yay. So what shows up for us as business owners? So what do you all think shows up as business owners or has showed up when you're insight? So when you think about insight is like what we're doing, more being into your intuitive self, more being guided by your intuition. So what has shown up for you, whether it's been in harmony, like that one for me, that insight was just really tapping in and being intuitive and listening and not coming from that, yes, I got all the answers, I'm going to fix it. It was more like seeding, you know, seeding different things and listening and, you know, giving, but not overly giving, you know. So I'd love to hear a couple people share, since you all said like, oh yeah, my insight system is actually all right.
Hi. So I tend to feel a little more intuitive when it comes to working with my clients than I do for myself. So that that's just something I want to develop better. I feel like it's also true that I probably receive stuff but don't listen to myself for myself. So I'm sure there's other chakras related to this, but it's just interesting, to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you for sharing. And that is, a lot of times we will be, we'll be more intuitive about our clients than ourselves. And it's something we just only sometimes a moment, it's like that muscle. It's like that muscle. The more we do it, I'm telling you, I this is just like very interesting. So this is like, I find the more that I work on it, the more I'll get like really intense insights that is always unbelievable to me, because today I thought to myself, I have a feeling I'm going to get paid. I don't really get paid often on Saturday for my job. It's rare, but for some reason I kept thinking, today I'm going to get paged. And I thought, well, no, let me not think that, because now, and I got paged. But I think it was a preparation on like that intuitive, things. And when we're more intuitive, Tony's mentioned, it's less work. Have you found that, Jill? Have you found that when you're tapping in and you've guided and you're allowing intuition to guide you with your clients, have you found that you have more ease with them?
Well, yeah, and I feel joy, and they're always kind of amazed, and so it feels like I'm in a good place, when that's happening, and I feel the flow better as well too. So I just need to get that for me as well.
Mm-hmm. You will. But I love that. And even when you were talking about it, you're like, I feel joy, and you giggled, and you know what I mean? That ease and all of that. And you could see she feels grounded, her flow system. I mean, it was like this confidence, all of it. And so, so what are some things that people have done to tap into their own intuition or insight system?
I always keep a pad of paper beside my bed, because a lot of the times I'll just wake up and things will come to me. Like, I'll go to bed at night and I'll say, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about whatever's bothering me or what I'm trying to solve. And sometimes I'll just wake up and I'll just write things. And I find that when it's quiet in the morning, that's what, a lot of great ideas come to me. And if I don't write it down, I might easily forget it later on in the day. So I find that it's a good tool.
I love it. It is. Oh my goodness. Yeah, and we do. I read someplace that our intuition is a lot more heightened between 4 and 6 a.m.
I believe it.
you can see, am I waking up with these ideals? Is that, and if you are able to get up at that time and really, whatever practice that is, but yes, having that, because the insight system also relates to our dreams. Our dreams figuratively and literally, like, what are we dreaming? What is going on? And when we can look at this too with ourselves and with our clients, are we dreaming? Are they dreaming? Are they sleeping? Because that system's also related to the sleep and how well we're sleeping. And Clary Sage is a great essential oil, because you know what it does? It promotes clarity of mind and helps to open our psyche. It also helps us to look ahead with vision and clarity with the possibilities. I mean, I just want to lather myself all over with Clary Sage. But that is like, that frankincense is another one, commonly used in prayer and meditation, and helps you drop out of your mind and ego into your intuition and your inner guidance. And it's funny, in between when we were all on break, I was putting frankincense. I was rubbing frankincense on me. So it really does help to enhance your intuition. The other thing you can use, if you don't, essential oils, you can use, what are they called? Incense or the resin. So the resin. So this is like frankincense and myrrh. And I will actually do these, like I have like a spice grinder. I grind it up and I get the charcoal and I put it on top and I have this and I actually do this in my practice. I see which I need. Like I have different ones. I have one actually that's for like the sacral. So if I feel like I need more flow, if I feel more intuitive, and I put it on the hot charcoal and it steam, you know, it's like an incense. It's like magical. It's like so great. I mean, I feel so like in tune. So those are great. And I'm curious, Lynn, which stone, because you're the stone and crystal person. Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh.
Amethyst.
Amethyst quartz. Yeah. We have that. Just, Jill probably knows this too. You know, you drive up to the Boundary Waters and they're just there.
Wow. See, I'd go. And I love that.
Well, I've got a few of those. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it helps you feel less scattered, enhances memory. And it's actually considered the most spiritual stone, and it gives insight and opens intuition. And this is also a good one to sleep, have it next to your bed. Or I used to have it like, actually I'm in my outside office, not my home office. And I have it many times sitting there by me. So that's another great one. So. All right, moving to any questions or anything, any insights or anything that you guys felt while listening about the insight system? All right. Spirit system. So the spirit system actually, this really can be easily impacted by other people's emotions and energies. So a lot of times with people who are empaths, their spirit system can be really impacted. It's also our sense of faith and connection with God, with nature, with the universe, with the divine. And like I said, this is when we feel like no one has our back. We're just kind of hopelessly wandering and we feel overwhelmed or things aren't going the way they are planned, you know, like you planned them, you know? And so this can really play out because you could have where this is how my business is supposed to go. This is the story. This is a story I told myself. This is the story going back to the root that my family told me, that the members of my community told me. And it doesn't. And if we're out of balance, then we feel like, oh, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with what I'm doing and everything. And that's where, so that you can see how that is like interconnected with all of those other things. Because now what am I feeling? I'm feeling anxious. I'm not in the flow. I don't set boundaries. I'm not feeling confident. My heart is feeling heavy because I put all of this work and love into this program and nobody has signed up for it. And I've been there, done that. I'm not able to express it, but really it comes back to maybe that wasn't the program. When I did that and I pushed out a program and I wonder why no one signed up, I was working with somebody who actually said, because you were trying to do a group program before you had enough individual clients. Like I had a few individual clients, but I was like, well, I'll do a group, you know, I'll do this. And she's like, usually you should have this, you know, individual clients that there you have so many that you transition. So that was what was me. Now, some people can lead with a group program and have lots of, you know, Well, I was like, oh. And once I recognized that, that this wasn't some like, oh, I'm this bad practitioner, I'm this or whatever. It was really recognizing sometimes when things don't go as planned, it's because when one door closes, guess what? This huge window opens, you know? And that was going back to that heart of being able to receive that and recognize that. So that is just like connecting them all. And anything that you guys do to help you with your spirit system, or things that you feel like or you think maybe essential oils or what is your, you know, as I say, it goes back to that sage. That sage actually brings about purification, cleansing. Because if we think about this is pure, this is open. So being out in nature again, sunshine, air, light, organic foods.
Palo Santo is good for that too. I'm really careful with sage because it's kind of been over harvested. So I'd like to make sure when people are selling sage, where they got it, how they got it, all that stuff. So I've been using Palo Santo a little bit more in my smudging stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like Palo Santo. So that's another one. Clear quartz. That's another one. 'Cause you think white, you know. This reveals inner negativity and replaces with positive thoughts, increasing awareness and clarity. So you can see that I was very, and this is what I do. I do this every morning. I think about what is it I need for the day. I knew I was coming on with you guys. I was drawn to wear my clear quartz, to wear blue because I'm speaking, and to have my rose quartz in here and to put lavender. You know, and it's kind of like when you're listening to your clients, just knowing and saying, you know what? What is it that I feel I need to nourish so I can be a better service and a better heart-centered coach for that individual? And you lean into that each and every day. You know, another thing that sometimes I do is I'll look at all the clients I'm going to see each day. And I actually meditate and I pray over it to see so that I am guided when I'm sitting there talking to them. And I'm telling you, like Jill was saying, things will come and I'll be like, I sometimes don't know where that come from. And like Jill said, clients would be like, oh, how'd you know that? How'd you do that? And it is like all that knowledge that you've gained, all that you have, those tools, it will come to you. Or at the time, you'll say, I have information on that and I want to assist you and I'll get back to you. You don't have to like all that. I used to prepare, like, I got to know all this stuff before I see a client. And it can just be like you're just leaning into it and really listening to your inner guidance. And you will find so much ease and flow and joy. I love that word, Jill, joy. So much more clarity. I'm going to say at times, you don't, we go back to our old ways and we get stuck and everything, but then we recognize and we create those sacred spaces. We create our self-care. We do something to realign ourselves with our truth, and that's okay. And then we continue to, you grow, and at different times in your life, different systems will be off and you just continue to learn and grow and expand. Yes.
So as I'm listening here and thinking, to me, this is where there's the best nourishing thing you can do for yourself is that fasting and being in doing that Kundalini yoga type stuff with the breath and having, to me, that would, for this chakra area, this area is just, yeah. I could be wrong. I was just thinking that.
You're absolutely right. Fasting, detoxing, letting go. And that's not just like, you know, food detoxing, but also what we're putting in our mind and stuff, you know, what we're reading, what we're watching on TV. Not saying you can't watch that, but when you're doing that, you will clear that stuff. And so you're absolutely right. It is about you become, it's like this, you know, insight. I know that Tony does water fasting, everything. Like, tell it, like, do you have like these insights and you just feel, tell us, share.
Every water fast is different. But I always feel like I'm more clear, because how can you work when you have a water fast? Well, you're on water fast because my third eye is open. I mean, I just, things are just much more vibrant and clear for me. Even though I have good intuition, it can be clouded by stories that I tell myself. And I have to work my way out of it. But when I'm fasting, or like now I'm doing a juice feast, been doing that for the last 2 weeks. That's how I get the most ease and flow. Because energy is not being spent in other areas, digesting food, processing toxins. You know, there's an occasional release. But it's just like you said, when you don't have those other things blocking it, we all have intuition. I'm going to repeat that because I think it bears repeating. It just may be blocked or somehow shoved down because there are other things taking over. The story you're telling yourself. The inability sometimes to even trust your own intuition. And I've learned to do that too. I used to challenge it. I used to say, oh, yes. Now I say, I know because I know I know. It will show up. And I just follow that intuition, that strong intuitive hit each and every time without being attached to what it's going to look like on the other side. Because I know because I know I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of that.
Beautiful. So I'm just going to wrap up. It's just, first of all, I'm going to say thank you all. Thank you all for spending your time with me. And for all of you, just to give yourself loving kindness. You know, we can be so hard on ourselves. We can listen to this and then we could say, well, wow, you know, I know they say be in the right brain, but I was actually thinking and I was making this to-do list and I was doing this. And then we're like, well, see, I'm not, you know, and we so hard on ourselves. Would we do that too? Would we tell the person, you know, our child, would we tell our friend that, like, oh, you need to get it together. What's wrong with you? You know, like, no. So just breathing this in, seeing, you know, like what lands for you, knowing that you can always watch this replay. You don't have to. Your inner guidance is going to tell you. Your inner guidance, after you, like, absorb this information in, absorbed and felt, it's going to tell you, it's going to come out. You might see like, oh my goodness, I'm really drawn towards red. I'm really wanting root vegetables. Oh my goodness, that person, I'm going to buy that amethyst. Oh, I'm going to use clear. You know, it's all of a sudden going to start showing up whatever you need. And that's the thing. And then you'll be guided and it's listening to that. And it's okay if you say no and you say, oh, nope, no, that's not it. That's not really it. It'll show up again somewhere else. So just that, being loving, kind to yourself. Know that you have all the, like, that information that's kind of the, you know, like all the stuff that we've learned, you know, like about adrenals and about blood sugar and about, we know that stuff. Allow our inner, that's already in our brain. Allow that to transmute and come down and allow our heart to guide us and allow our intuition. And you will see, and you play around with it. It's very interesting. You play around with it. Just kind of say, you know what? Today I'm going to play around with it. I'm going to listen more and I'm going to tune into my body. What is my body saying while I'm listening to this client? What's hurting me? I mean, I've done that too, and I've had pain and realized, oh, it's their digestive system, because I had no digestive issues until this person came in here. And the more you play around with it, the more it grows, the more ease and flow you have. So continue to do that, you know. But any questions, any lingering thing, any – actually, just one aha or aha or just one aha or something you felt into. Not something you're going to do. See, I'm careful, even though I want, but just one aha or something that resonated with you. So everyone will answer. We'll just go around. Right. Cindy, go ahead.
I like the fact that you said that we have all the tools available to us and it will come, and being able to trust ourselves. And, you know, I've only had one client, but when I start to get more, I think it'll be easier just recognizing that I don't have to have all the answers right when I'm there. Like if I have the information, I can tell them, oh, I can get back to you with that. I know it's somewhere in my head or my files. So that was very helpful. Thank you.
Yes. Beautiful. Valerie? Oh, Jill. Sorry, Valerie. I was going down my little board. Go ahead.
I think for me, what struck me is that I really need to work on all of them. And so that tells me I need to be a lot more mindful of all of this more of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's all. It's just awareness, you know, and it ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes mine are all balanced. Sometimes none of them. Sometimes some. So, you know, that happens. Jill?
I agree with Valerie. And also, the thought I had was that our body is giving us messages, and just our life experience is giving messages through our body and through the choices that we're making, how it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Our body wisdom. Yes. Glenn?
I too am grateful for this reminder of the wholeness and synchronicities that everything is giving us, within and without, if we just wake up and look around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Angelica?
Yeah, I'm just grateful for this reminder as well. This past week, I had planned some new classes and speaking events. Well, my first ones actually as like a health coach. And I started to instantly go into left brain and freak out about how am I going to do it? What's the right thing to say? And so this is just really timely for me to have the trust that I have everything I need. I just need to I think the most powerful thing is to be present for the people I'm teaching and let the knowledge just come versus stressing about it.
I love it. And congratulations on that. That's awesome that you're going to be doing that. What are you going to be speaking on?
I'm going to do courses about digestion.
Oh, nice. Yay. Michelle? Might not. And is this Kimberly on the phone? Did she switch to the phone? I don't know.
That's a Texas number.
Oh, okay. Well, if someone who's on the phone want to speak with 512, they can.
You might have to unmute them.
I think you'll have to do it, Tony.
Apparently.
There we are.
Oh, there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So what I was saying is just what resonated with the green of the heart and with the seasons and nature, just the idea of envisioning a green bouquet of all the natural elements for that green, for the heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Such a visual. Nice. Ah. Well, thank you all. Thank you all for sharing. And for being here. I can stay on a little bit with you, Tony, while you go into the second part. So
I'm going to feel my way into that. How many of you feel like full, like you want to just stay with this and be with it a little bit longer? Okay, Lynn's shaking her head. Anybody else? Just Lynn? Angelica, you're good? Okay, all right. Then I think we should move forward with the rest of our agenda, which is going to dovetail very nicely from what Cassandra set us up for, because I think, and Lynn, if you need to go, please, I'm going to honor you.
If you need to, you know, because you know we can get full.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say, and if that happens, then I will take your invitation.
Oh, very good, very good. So, if you all have your agendas, and you didn't print them out, what we're going to talk about now is how to grow your business using amazing coaching skills. I sent out an assessment to some of you. Some of you filled it out, some of you didn't. That's okay. To do a self-assessment of your own coaching skills. And coaching skills range from listening, questioning, relationship building, all the way to preparation. Are you grounding? Are you, you know, are you separating yourself from the next client? Are you doing enough to spare your energy and your client's energy? So in looking towards what is the most impactful, the single, well, three of the most impactful things that you can do that seems super simple for you to explore, play, and discover in where you can see the effects of it. I decided to take three areas that have helped me to grow my business. And I do the others too, but these three are direct impacts on my client. It causes them to have successful outcomes. So the first one is relationship building. And we talked a little bit about that. We've been saying this a lot, but it bears repeating. When connecting with your clients, you want to shift from connecting with what you do to connecting to who you are, not what you do all the time. If you are viewed as the expert, they're going to come thinking they need to be fixed and think wanting you to fix them. That is not your job. Your job is to connect with them as a person, as a human being, so that you can actually mirror to them what they need. And they can tell you. It's really their job to tell you. Our job is to guide them. But if you start with what you do instead of who you are, what you do as an expert is, like Cassandra said, those tools already be there. They're attracted to you, sure, because you have a certain level of knowledge. But there are 20, 30 other people in the area that have that knowledge. What do they feel from you? It's the feeling. And I've always had clients say that. I just feel protected. I feel whatever. They feel like they're going to get what they need here. So I don't lead with, in a group full of strangers when I'm giving a presentation, I'll tell them what my background is, but now I'll say, here's my passion. Here's my passion. My passion is guiding you to getting to the root cause of what's going on. My passion is guiding you to feeling good in your own body again. My passion is guiding you. So they're connecting with me, the person, not the expert. So go ahead. And anytime anybody wants to pop in there to keep this active and engaged, I'm all for it. Anybody want to pop in? Okay, good. So in order to do that, I like that C word, curious. You have to be genuinely curious about your client. Genuinely curious. So what does that look like? Well, for me, it's an intake form. So I'm looking at the intake form. Of course, all the numbers and all that stuff is down the bottom. But really, at the top, that's my client. Those numbers are reflection of what's going on in their bodies or their hearts and their minds, but up top is who they are. And so I will always have small talk. I will ask, like my client that spoke last week, I said, hey, what does a special education lobbyist do and how did you get into that? Well, she just opened wide open and she started telling me this and that and the other, and I knew about her son and I knew about the stressors around that. And you see how you get to know people? That's what you want to do. You want to start initially with small talk. It has to be sincere, you know, like how's the weather? I mean, that's okay, but most people aren't going to connect with you that way. Find something sincere. Another tool that I use is, are you all familiar with the Wheel of Life or the Wheel of Joy? Awesome place to start with connecting with your clients, because the Wheel of Joy is exactly that. It's like 8 things that, you know, that we define our lives by: relationships, health, jobs, and all that. And I ask people to score. And then I'll just have a conversation. Well, it's interesting. You scored a 10 there. What makes that a 10? Do you see how you can just flow into conversation? Before you get into what's going on in their bodies, you've got to connect, make that heart connection. Okay. We'll move on from there. And I'm just doing kind of high level, right, just so you all know. And I have tools that I use, and I'm happy to share that with you, but I just want to make sure we're on the same page with that. So here's another area. Cassandra talked about it earlier. Listening, mindful listening, right? It's super important. When you're listening mindfully, the other C word I like is compassion. Compassion for that person, right? You want to focus on that client without judging them, without engaging in a filter with your own opinions. That can be super hard. It can be, because we have our own understanding and idea of where people's, but we bring out stories to our clients. We do. And that filter. And so for me, I do deep breathing and I say, it's all about them, not about me. This is about them, not about me. You have to show the client you're listening. Active listening technique. Cassandra is good at that. She will lean in, right? She'll ask questions. She'll like, yeah, tell me more. So use active listening techniques so people know that you're actually interested in what they're saying. You have to listen with a heart focus to understand your client. You're not just listening to the words that are said. You're listening to the words that aren't said. Let's say that again. You're not only just listening to what's said, you got to hear what's not being said, because in those gaps, that's who they are. They're still getting to know you, but they're going to give you a little bit. So listen for those gaps. Listen for the feelings and emotions that come up. You want to give space, Cassandra did this earlier, for the client to talk freely, to explore without fear, judgment, or interruption. Cassandra gave us really that nice pregnant pause. She didn't look nervous or agitated, so it allowed us the freedom to just sit. To just sit with it and be with that. And that's what your client is going to need too. They're going to need time to talk freely and explore without fear of interruption or judgment. So interruption looks like, you know, and I do have to practice on this because I'm a strong intuitive empath and I generally know before it's said. And so I have to resist the urge to step on people's tongues and let them get it out, because that's part of the healing process too. So if you all are empaths, that's going to be a struggle for you. I promise you, but you can do it. And also be aware of the client's wants and needs, so you intuitively know what questions to ask. If you are heart focused, if you're in tune to their heart, the questions will come. They will come. You don't have to struggle for them. So I was teaching training a coach in this area because she was struggling with that. She said, well, give me a list of questions to ask. So I gave her 407 of them. No, I'm just kidding, but I gave her 37. She still struggled with that. Why? Because she was looking for those magic questions to ask. The questions don't matter as much as the heart focus, and the intuition will allow you to ask the right questions. I promise. But you have to, you know, you really have to be compassionate and really listen with the idea of listening for understanding, not listening to fix anything, right? Because that's what, if you're not comfortable, that's what you'll do. You'll take what they give you and you'll say, okay, where am I? Okay, yeah, I know how to fix that. Lead with your heart, not your smart. The smart is there. The smart's not going to connect you with your client. And the other thing I like that keeps me in contact with my clients is, usually I have clients that I meet with weekly, but some clients I can't meet with until maybe bi-weekly. I always like to maintain connection, because you can lose connection. It's like you lose that electrical spark if you're not connected to them. So in between sessions, I share resources. I send quotes. I send articles or references or pictures. It doesn't have to be grand. It just has to make sense and has to matter. And it has to be authentic, not gratuitous, right? So, you know, you don't want to just send quote of the day and then hope your client resonates with it. It has to be something based on what you know. So it's just a few minutes a day. And I've had clients get back to me like, wow, I really needed to hear that today. Or, wow, that inspired me to continue to do this. That's the connection, right? That's the heart. So those are the three areas that we do when connecting with the clients. So now we're talking about communicating with clients. Part, go for it.
So Tony, when you say that is so true. And going back to that intuitive, it's interesting. I will be drawn to read something. I might not have opened somebody's email, meaning, you know, like the emails that we sign up on newsletters and something. And that day, I'll be drawn to look at it and I'll read something and I'll be like, this is interesting. I feel like I don't need it.
Yeah.
And then I will meet with a client who will tell me blah, 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 and something. And then all of a sudden I'm like, and I'll be able to like insist them. So this type of stuff will be coming to you all the time, or I'll be reading a book and I'll be like, oh, well, this is helpful for me. but it was really helpful. Like, I'll be able to be like, oh yeah, blah, blah, you know, so that you will, that connection is, as you're listening more to them and you're taking them in, the more you'll be guided to certain things that you have no idea why, and you'll read it. And then all of a sudden, since you're connected to them and you're listening, they'll share something and you'll say, oh yeah, or you'll say a certain thing and they'll be like, wow, that was helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important for relationship building, because again, people unload their hearts to people, not experts. They're not wanting to be fixed. They want to be heard, right? They come into you because they've been to the medical system where they've been fixed or tried to be fixed or not be fixed. So that heartfelt connection is super important. I view my clients as my family. They are an extension of me. They're an extension of my family. I feel that's how connected I feel to them, because if I didn't feel that way, I couldn't serve them. So they are just as important to me as my family, and I treat them that same way. So here's an area. Thank you for sharing that, Cassandra, because I really think the more you hear other people saying it and experiencing it, that the newer coaches or the ones that are starting to pick up clients more, it's gonna be like, oh my gosh, it just makes life so much easier when you don't have to pull out every tool you have in the tool chest and know that it's going to be there if the right brain is engaged. That's the creative part of you. So now we're going to talk about communicating with your clients. This is where the rubber meets the road, ladies. This is where you have to support your clients through limiting beliefs, breakdowns, and breakthroughs. Anybody have clients like that they have to support? Yeah, not fun, but it can be. It can be. Yeah. Anybody not have that kind of client? It's coming, so listen up. So again, this is where the rubber meets the road and what may stand between your client and successful outcomes, because we really want them to have successful outcomes. I always like to read this quote by Mahatma Gandhi, because I think it clarifies why it's important for us to spend a little bit of time in this area. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. Notice how everything starts with the thought. Everything starts with the thinking. In my practice, I use cognitive, I don't know if y'all are aware of the cognitive behavior model. And that is exactly that, right? It's based on the idea that how you think determines how you feel and behave. It's just that simple. How you think determines how you feel, determines how you behave. So I like, you know, I'm like the rule of three. I like things very simple. And so I've always liked using cognitive behavior models. So let's talk about limiting beliefs. What we think we are. Anybody disagree with that? What we think we are. But I also want to tell you this. We're only a thought away, just one thought away, one belief away from our greatest love, our deepest healing, and our most profound miracles. And that's what we have to get to our clients. We have to get them from believing what's false about them to believing what's actually true. So the problem isn't that we have negative thoughts. We all have them. The problem is we believe them. And that's the same with your clients. The problem is that they believe, and they don't have to. Just because you believe something about yourself doesn't mean it's true. And the problem, again, with your clients is it's ingrained now. It's subconscious. So they're owning it. They're wearing it. Even though it's uncomfortable, they're wearing it. And that's what's going to separate them from success. So there are three things that I do. And again, I like to, I don't want to overgeneralize it or make it simple, because every client is unique, but I found generally this works. You want to guide your clients to focus on possibilities, not the problems. Possibilities, not the problems, because they've come to you with the problems, and that's always in their head, like, problem, 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 problem. And that generates the thought of, well, I can't do this anyway, which generates feelings of failure, which generates a behavior, self-fulfilling cycle there. So one of the ways that you get them to focus on possibilities and not the problems is what I like to call what matters most, or what you all call the big why, right? I call it what matters most. Reconnect them to what matters most. They came to you for that. That's their possibilities. This is where you might find a little disconnect. If you're taking them back there and it's still not resonating, you may have to start from the very beginning and ask them, why does this matter? So when you start, most people are going to start with the head, like, I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, that's at the start. Eventually, you want to get down to the heart, which is, why does that matter? So an example is with a client, and I will call her by name. Her name is Doris, and I remember Doris telling me she wanted to lose 50 pounds because we got down to why is this important? Well, because I want to have energy. Yet Doris was doing everything but doing the stuff to give her energy. So I finally had to ask her, tell me again why you need energy. What does energy give you? She wanted energy to write a book, a book she wanted to dedicate to her deceased daughter 2 years earlier. Guess what happened after that? She got inspired because she's connected to that. So every time she went into limiting beliefs, we got back to the book. We got back to the book, not the energy. Was what the energy was going to give her. So don't be afraid to revisit what matters most, because sometimes people are afraid to own it or say it or just not sure. See your clients in a positive light. You have to be a mirror for them, because when they come to you and they are knee deep in negativity, they won't tell themselves that. So you have to always see beyond their blame and their shame and their guilt and all that, and their own imperfections and the filters. So you want to be the mirror for the greatest potential and creativity. I tell my clients all the time when they'll focus on what they are not, and I'll say, here's what you are. Here's what I see. And I'm like, really, really, really. We have to believe in them until they believe in themselves. The idea is to make that shift as quickly as possible so it doesn't get into their subconscious. And then the third one, guide them from victim mode to empowered mode. What does that look like? It's the language of love versus the language of fear. Language of fear, it won't work for me. You're going to have a lot of clients that say that. The language of love, I'm going to turn these obstacles into opportunities. I don't have enough time. You have time for anything that you value, and then you get them right back into the values. Got to shift that, shift them from victim to empowered. Okay. So again, we're simplifying things, but this is just giving you an idea of what, how it's so important to help them shift from these limiting negative beliefs, because you can't do anything powerful. You can't do anything powerful or positive with a negative mindset. It's impossible. It is impossible. So we're kind of going through this fast, but I just want to give you an overview. Now here, the middle ground. Now the middle ground are the breakdowns. Breakdowns, what I like to call self-sabotage. All of us have experienced it. All of us do it. Self-sabotage is when we say we want something and then go about making sure it doesn't happen. It's a subconscious, mindless story that we tell ourselves. It can come in many forms, but here's a short list that I see with my clients. Analysis paralysis when they're overthinking something. Right? That's self-sabotage happening right there. Procrastination. I know that I was supposed to do that assessment for you, but I got busy. Mm-hmm. Perfectionism. It's all or nothing. I wasn't able to do 100% of what you asked for, so I'm doing nothing. That's all self-sabotage. Now, here's the subtlety in this. When you first hear it and you have a client that's really enthusiastic, it could sound like, oh, life happened. Challenge. Because that's really not life happening. That's self-sabotage happening. But it can be a subtle difference, because you want to, because clients can be very convincing because they've done this before. Like, so they it's like, oh yeah, this happened, that happened, excuses. So I had this form called No More Excuses, and we kind of unpack it and break it down. And we usually get down to, that it's self-sabotage. So to break the cycle, I like to ask some well-placed questions. We're getting back to reconnecting with what matters most. What do you want and why does it matter? Because they've disconnected from their want. They've disconnected from their why. They've disconnected to what matters most. What's the underlying thought of fear? So let's say they're connected to it, but then there's a thought that comes up that says, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. It's never going to work. That's usually where it is, right there. So we have to unpack it even more. It doesn't matter. What does matter in this area, sometimes just raising the awareness will shake them up a little bit and you can keep them out of that. But if they're constantly going back in there, or they can't understand why the thought is coming, but they can express an emotion, there may be trauma there. and that might be too much for you to handle. And don't be afraid to refer people out if there's trauma there. But just listen and look for the underlying fear that'll come up. It will. Even if they can't express a thought, you can watch their body language. You can, most of you have been trained by Laura Fine. You can see what energy shifts. You can, you know, you can see when pain is coming up in their body. You can see this happening, right? You can see something is going on. What I really love is challenging the answer. So let's say you go through this unpacking and the client tells you, yeah, one of the reasons that I'm doing self-sabotage, they won't call it that, but I'm procrastinating is because my husband won't do this for me, or my daughter does this, or my son does that. And yet it's inconsistent with what I heard last week was which is my son and daughter and my family are very supportive. Look for the inconsistencies and don't be afraid to call them out on it, right? Raising awareness without judgment. Don't judge because you really, go ahead, Cassandra.
I was going to say, and sometimes when you do that, sometimes their clients could be testing us, you know, not listening and seeing if they can really trust. Because if you don't, or Ray, think about it. You go tell someone and you're like, you tell them this and then you change your story and they don't call you up, you're going to be like, they're not really listening to me. So sometimes it could just be that. And it could be like, when you do that, you might think, oh, they're going to feel a certain way because I'm questioning them. But it will actually help the trust with you when you do that.
Exactly. It really does deepen the trust. It really does. Because again, Cassandra makes a good point. When you're challenging them, you're challenging them because you want them to meet their goals. You're not challenging them just to make them feel bad. And feeling bad is a whole other story that we can talk about. But I do it without judging. Are you aware that last week you said this? Not judging them, because judging starts with why. Why did you say this? Go, Lynn.
I also find, too, because people are so used to the medical model where they're told what to do all the time.
Yes.
That it's like a muscle they haven't exercised, and they're waiting for you to just tell them what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. But that, and again, as guides, as coaches, we are mirrors for them. They reflect their own answers to us and we just give it back. It really comes from them. But that's a good point. So I'm going to go back to beginning to go forward. Well-placed questions or phrases. Again, for those of you that are looking for the right question, it will come up. Don't worry about it. You can always start with what I say, what do you want and why does it matter? If you get stuck, always start there. Challenge the answers without judging. And then here's the biggest tip. And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Simply listen and be in that moment with them while they're struggling because they really want, you know, maybe it's the first time anybody's asked them or called them out. Maybe it's the first time they'd like, wow, I do that. And they may need a moment or two or three or four or five or seven, you know, just give them that time. Trust your intuition. Be relaxed in that pregnant pause. This is where the magic is happening, right? So don't scramble around for the next question, because that's what you lose the magic then. While you're scrambling around for the next question and they're talking to you, you're going to miss that one key thing that might take them through a breakthrough. Lead with your heart, not your smart. Resist the urge to leave that space, that sacred space that your client has created for you. They're sitting there just spilling. And your ego is telling you, okay, I need to have a good question. Just stay with it. Just breathe. And if you find yourself losing track, and every once in a while I have done that, and I'll just say, can we just pause for a minute? I just want to breathe with you because I want to make sure I don't miss anything. And they're okay with that because they know I didn't leave the room without leaving the room. Okay. So I know this is a high level discussion. When I work with my individual clients, when I work with coaches or do group programs, we dig into this, right? We have examples and all that, because this is what I think the breakdown part. If you're not comfortable with your clients being uncomfortable, they'll never break through. And isn't that what AA says? You have to have a breakdown to have a breakthrough. They ain't pretty, they ain't comfortable, but they're necessary. Yeah. Now let's get into breakthroughs. Okay. We said it before, I'll say it again. The foundation for having breakthroughs is just you being present, right? You need the present. And Cassandra said it earlier, the whole person needs to be present. The whole nervous system needs to be present, right? That includes acknowledging emotions that the client is feeling, recognizing energy shifts that are happening. And when you maintain your presence while all this is happening, defenses will drop. But the minute you leave the room, without leaving the room, shields up. It's a sacred space. Stay in it. And I will tell you this. If you're uncomfortable, be uncomfortable. Don't leave your client like that. Just be uncomfortable and breathe through it. Because it's good for you too. So as you all are going through this, your stuff is going to come up too. It's got to be about your client first. You can fix your stuff later. Stay with them. So there are three tips to help you access your intuition, because this is all where intuition is coming from now, because you're present. You're feeling that energy going. Your gut is on fire. It's telling you something's going. Your heart's wide open. Your brain is saying, oh my gosh, I'm open, I'm flexible. So three things that I like to do in this is sense what your client is experiencing as you listen. Don't just analyze the words, sense it. I mean, really feel it. So consciously guide yourself to feel curious and open-minded, compassionate, open-hearted, and courageous. That's your core. That's where your courage is going to come from when your client is spilling their guts and you're like, I need to fix this. No, you don't. They are coming to terms with their own answers. All you have to do is just contain. Just contain. Cassandra said this earlier too. Courage comes from that strength. So whenever I see, feel my clients, I will shift in my seat. I will make sure my shoulders are down and back. I'm grounding. I'm grounding because I want to be strong enough to handle it. So you want to make sure you go down and back, you know, just shoulders down and back. Listen more deeply. Let them feel your strength. Let them feel it's okay to unleash. Let's see, what else? Use of silence. Aha, Cassandra does that really well. Use of silence to allow your client to form new thoughts and perspectives. We are going through a breakthrough. It takes a minute. They're processing, they're reprocessing, they're thinking, they're rethinking. They've got to, you know, they have thoughts that they have held as true that now they have to say it's not true. But that's what I believe, but I don't believe it anymore. Like, what do I believe if I don't believe that? All that's going on in that moment of silence that you give them, right? Silence is often an indication of that your reflections and questions have penetrated your client's psyche. Let them have that. Be comfortable with that. So it may take some time for your client, you know, to even articulate that what she now understands is true or she understands is true, but be okay with that. My clients will tell me, like, if they're, you know, it's almost like watching them. This is how I visualize it. It's watching them go down underwater. And I'm like, okay, they're going to emerge before they die. Let them stay there. And I'll do the countdown. Like, okay, okay, okay. And they always surface when they're ready. Nobody drowns. But we have to be comfortable watching them do that. We can't go in after them because that's rescuing. And we can't sit on the banks worried because then we're not present. Got to be comfortable with that. So those are the three tips. Sense what your client is experiencing. Allow your heart and gut to have a voice because they know. Cassandra said it earlier, the gut, I usually get that hit in my gut before it hits here or here. I'll get a sensation. That's how we handle breakthroughs. All right, so we're moving right along. So the other area that you want to focus on in order to have successful outcomes with your client. And before we pass that, does anybody have a question? Go, Cassandra. I know I just zipped past that. Go for it.
No, I'm just saying bye-bye. I'm getting off, so it's three. But bye-bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. So the other thing is creating habits. Lasting transformation cannot take place unless you recreate your habits and your rituals. You can't go have the breakthrough and then go back and do the same thing you did before. It's like taking your car to have it detailed and then driving through mud. Yeah. So you take a different path. You avoid the mud, right? You say, okay, let me take a different route so I don't have to go through that mud again. So there are three simple but impactful tips for consideration. Your client is going to want to focus on the goal, right? They're going to focus on the goal, focus on the goal, focus on the goal. No. You want them to focus on the shift in daily habits to achieve the goal. Why? Because it's possible that those goals, and I love this quote, it's possible that those goals are designed to distract them from what's really frightening them, making that shift in daily habits. Because that would mean a reinvention of how they see themselves. Keep them in those daily shifts and they'll reach the goal. But if we focus on the goal, those daily shifts don't get acknowledged. You want to make your habits stupidly, ridiculously, incredibly easy to start. I don't care how small it is. It can be success. It's a sum of small efforts done day in and day out. Everybody hears me talk about baby steps, baby steps. I don't care. Baby step is still a step. But you want your clients to feel successful, and it's the sum. But, you know, 3 months later, I've had clients. As a matter of fact, a client is in D.C. I met her. She's here for a conference. And I worked with her 6 months ago, and she wanted to let me know that she's still doing the habits. She's still, like, her health is continuing to get better because we established a foundation of good rituals and habits, okay? And then the third one, these are, again, generalizations, but I'm just telling you, these are the areas that have made the greatest impact on my clients. Focus on progress, not perfection. It's not all or nothing. I like to promote good, better, best. Because if they're going, this is real life. When they're not with you, you want them to practice struggling while they're with you so you can support them. So if they're going to go out to a buffet and they're like, yeah, but, you know, I had this meal plan that you gave me. What do I do at the buffet? Good, better, best. And you tell them what that means. And it doesn't mean perfect. And I've had clients come back to me and said, well, you know, they didn't have this, but I ate this instead of that. They're making mindful choices. That's where transformation, the lasting transformation happens long after they leave you. All right. I know we're going through this because we're running out of time, but I thank you for that. So what can get in the way of all this? So you have all this good information and you're the coach. You're like, wow. Okay. So why can't I do this? Most of us have mindset traps, right? Mindset traps are going to keep you from improving client retention. They're going to keep you from receiving those glowing testimonies. They're going to keep you from receiving referrals and recommendations because you're not going to have successful outcomes. There are three, I've shared three mindset strategies: being present, supporting beliefs, breakdowns, and breakthroughs, and creating habits. But be aware of these mindset traps. Don't take it personally. It's not about you. If a client is growing through something, they're growing through it. It has nothing to do with you. If they're not growing through something, it has nothing to do with you. You're just a guide. But if we take it personally, what they're doing or not doing, somebody has to be on the banks waving the client in. Y'all both can't be in the water, right? Somebody has to be there. So that's what I found earlier, because I'm an empath. I was taking things like to my heart, right? Personally, like, oh my gosh. Don't overwhelm your client with information. We talked about that earlier, because you want to focus on your smart and not your heart, which is really you saying, I don't think I'm enough. And so you give the client all this information and they're like, whoa. You don't need to prove how smart you are. You have to prove how much heart you have, right? So this is what happens when you overwhelm clients with information, because then you're like, well, they need to do something with it. Then you start something called directive coaching. Do you know what that is? That's telling them what to do. That's not going to be transformational. That's going to be situational and short-term at best. And that's not going to give you successful outcomes for your client. So be intuitive about it. Those tools are there. You don't have to throw everything at them but the kitchen sink. And if you find yourself doing that, then recognize that there's something in you, there's a story you're telling yourself about not being enough. Okay. Don't attach to an outcome. If the client says they want to lose 50 pounds, and you say, yeah, I'm going to make sure you lose that 50 pounds, then you're attached to an outcome. Do measure your success based on their processes, habits, and rituals. That makes more sense than being attached to an outcome, because maybe it's not in their body space right now to lose 50 pounds, but it could be 2 months from now or 3 months from now. The idea is to stay attached to the ritual. And there are other mindset traps that I talk to my coaches about, but this, I just want to do high level. just to make you aware that they do exist. Some of you filled the coaching, completed the coaching assessment form, and you know who you are, and I thank you for that. I just want to ask, and if you want to volunteer, you can, or I probably will reach out to you personally. Based on what you've heard today, is there anything you would change about your assessment, particularly for building rapport, listening, and challenging? I'll probably reach out to you all separately with that. And now I just want to open it up for questions. For those of you who even had one coaching client, does any of this resonate with you? Have you experienced this messiness, this messy middle stuff where sabotage is happening, and not just for you, but for them too, and, you know, finding yourself feeling a little lost or maybe a little empowered? I don't know.
Well, I would like to say something. I haven't coached anybody, a paid client yet, but where I'm getting, you know, just preparing to teach, I already kind of touched upon it earlier. I'm already like, oh, I have to show how much I know. Mm-hmm. I can already feel myself doing that. Like, if I don't show how much I know, they'll just move on to someone else who knows more than me. And like, so I'm just noticing that, where that's coming from. And I would like to really, I really want to appreciate more of the training I've invested in like the energy counseling, because I think that makes me unique, but I need to figure out how to really own that and let that give me confidence. Cause at this point there's a disconnect. I don't have confidence about my unique skill set.
Yeah. So it's not your unique, and I can thank you for sharing that. So I'm going to ask you to consider something. Consider not your unique skill set, because all of us have the same skills. Your unique brilliance at how you express that skill set. Clients are connecting with you, not your skills. Because like you said, if you're competing with skills, I'm just going to say, even in this little space here, you know, y'all are probably smarter than I am. But what I do have as my special gift is the ability to make people feel comfortable in my presence. What I do have as my superpower is the ability to hear what they're saying and what they're not saying. So I'm going to encourage you to practice connecting with them and let them tell you what they need, and it will come to you. Lead with your heart. That information will be there. Sometimes I pull out my training with TEH. Sometimes I don't. You know, just one thing we don't want to have our clients do is exercise in futility just to have them do something, because we feel less than. I'm going to tell you a story. It may help you. It may not help you. So, you know, but Lynn has seen this too. The best talks I've ever had was when PowerPoint failed me. Right. She's seen it. It happened to me. I went to a women's group a couple weeks ago, and they usually have the PowerPoint all set up for me. And they said, oh, the machine was borrowed and we didn't know. And the women were sitting around the room looking at me like, what are we going to do? And I just said, let's chat. Let's just chat. Let's just tell me a little bit about you. And so I got to know who they were first. We got comfortable, established rapport, and I could have read the alphabet and they would have been okay with it, because I established rapport. And I gave a good talk because they gave that energy back to me. The fear comes when you don't have a connection, so you have to rely on your smarts and not your heart. I know you can do this. I know you can do this. I've seen you connect. That information is not going anywhere. I do want to talk about the capacity to practice legally, because I think some of our comfort and feeling comfortable in work, the work we do, is we have to make sure that we're working within legal boundaries. So if you have a coaching business, practice, any practice that you have, go to your state office and make sure that you can practice what you want. There's nothing worse than, because Cassandra and I live in a heavily, heavily regulated state, there's nothing worse than, you getting fined and you're out of business because you can't, that's how you make your money, to pay the fine. Now you're out of business, you got to figure out how I'm going to pay the fine, because you just didn't know what the boundaries were. Cease and desist are not, and they're expensive. You could pay thousands of dollars plus daily fees until you pay back. So please go to your state, your country, wherever you need to go and find out whether or not you can practice legally. In my coaching program that I have a relationship with a lady. I'm establishing that legally enlightened, and she's, you know, going to help us determine how we can stay legal. Not just that, but also making sure we have the proper agreements in place and all that to keep you safe. If you, most of our clients, honestly, are going to be okay, but agreements are in place to not just protect, to share, okay, this is what we agreed to do. You agree to show up 100%. I agree to give you 100%. But also if they, you know, things get funny with the money, because this is what can happen in self-sabotage. They're not going to blame themselves for not meeting their goals. They're going to blame you and the program. And so you want to make sure you have an agreement in place that, you know, protects you and protects your funds and all that stuff. So that's kind of the icky part of the business, but necessary in order for you to stay in your heart center if you know you have that done. All right. So we fast forwarded. We just kind of breezed through that. Did anything connect with you in a good way or a not so good way?
I was just going to say, I live in a red state as well. And I'm just really careful with my language and how I present myself. Like, you know, I don't do meal plans. But I sometimes what I do is I'll share a template, because I make a meal plan for myself. As far as I know, I'm still allowed to do that. And so I'll tell people, well, this is my meal plan. I'm not going to tell you this is what you need to eat, but if you want to see how I structure it, then you can do that. But, you know, it just all goes back, like you said, to that relationship that we have with them. And, you know, that's that curiosity word is my favorite C word as well. And I often say, well, we're walking mates. We're on this trail together and we're looking at the map and going, oh, look, it says if we go here, this is where we'll go. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate that you are solidifying that concept with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, Lynn. Yeah, the languaging is really what it's all about. And they will tell you legally what you can say or can't say. Like, I can say meal plan as long as the word suggested is in front of it. I mean, it can be that subtle, right? They tagged my website one time and they gave me a warning. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I'll just change it. Change it today and you're good to go. No problem. Want me to shut down my website? I can do that. No, just change that word. So I did. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. It's really, I mean, I think everything goes back to this whole day was really about connecting with your client, because that's what they have the answers. You don't have their answers. They have everything here. They live in their bodies every day. They live in their hearts every day. They live in their minds every day. You don't. You just get an invitation to peek in once in a while. So we have to have established that heartfelt, so that when they do have that breakthrough, when they do have the breakdown and they're able, things are coming up and bubbling up that they can put down the defenses. And then we can say, I see you. I see what you need, and you can give it to them. You won't have to, you know, yeah, I have that. I have that. Okay. Yeah. She just showed me that. I have that. And it's okay to not have an answer on the spot. I've had a client say, what do you think? I think we're going to sit on that for a minute. She was okay with that. I'm going to take that information you gave me. You're going to take that information. We're going to field out for a day or two. And we're going to come back together and talk about it and see what we need to do. Any other feedback?
Okay. I have a question about listening. So typically when I'm listening to, one of these sessions or with a client, I have a habit of writing. Part of it is because it helps me retain information. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm recording the session, I like to write. Do you think that, or maybe it's individual, do you think that helps or hinders listening?
It all depends. So I have done both, and it really depends on the relationship that I have with the client. If I feel like I've already established rapport, And I'm just trying to catch some things that I'll say, hey, I'm just making some notes. And here's the way you can stay connected when you're writing. And you all who work with Laura Fine, you know this. Just say, what I heard you say was, so that they know you're still engaged. What I heard you say was, and I just need to take some notes. And that's one way to do it. But until you've established rapport, it can be a little off-putting. Right? The information will come to you. Like if they're telling you something that requires like you've asked a question about when was the last time you slept and you don't want to forget that, well, you want to, you know, document that. But if you're going to try to write War and Peace, yeah, you don't want to do that. Right? You just want to capture little notes and cryptic notes. And if you want to write something later, that's what I would suggest. But that takes time and practice, actually. I'm finding that I'm able to build that into the play, discover, and explore. And I sometimes make my client a part of that process. So while Zoom is on and I have their customized plan in front of me, and I'll say, well, what do you think? Do you think we should do this? And, you know, so they're in part of that, right? So there's the connection still. You don't want to disconnect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. That was a really good question. Anything else? Okay. This has been a really, really full, almost hour and a half, 3 hours and a half. I thank you guys for staying connected. I am on the fence about having an optional workshop. When we first did this class, it was supposed to be for certification, and then we decided to go in a different direction. So I'm going to make it open and based on energy. So if there are areas that you want to focus on for yourself, what I'll do is I will only do an optional workshop if people who want to do it fill out that coaching assessment. And I'm also going to have you fill out another assessment that has to do with the first part of the workshop. And that way I can see what we need to focus on that's going to be meaningful to you. Other than that, I can meet with people individually to just see what your next steps are. So my concern here is that I don't want stuff to stay here. Does that make sense? I love, you all may be committed right now, and I may be assuming that I've learned something. I just don't know what to do with it. Well, still, that's still a commitment thinking about it. But I love this quote. Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has left you. What is it that you want to do with this information that was just given to you over the past 2 weekends? What is it that you would like to do with that? You don't have to answer now. What feels right? What's your next step? And it doesn't have to be big to be impactful. It could just be, you know what? When I listen to my client again, I'm going to practice feeling my body and see where I'm feeling it. It could be just that simple. Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, just to practicing listening and noticing how I listen to people and just allowing, basically reflecting them back at them instead of giving my answers or my intellect to them.
Good. Angelica, I think that's awesome. And we can all practice more on that. Anybody else want to share, you know, anything? And you have nothing. You're just like still marinating in it. That's cool too. We all just marinating. That's awesome. So while we're all marinating all this goodness and just practicing being, over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear from me. And I'm going to invite some of you who want to continue to work, because I want to let you know I do work with coaches like yourselves that are stuck or maybe not stuck and maybe want to take it to the next level. You're not able to meet your business goals, which have very little to do with the goals, but a lot about how you're doing it, your mindset. I'm here for you. And I will present that information to you later in an email. But I just want to just thank you all so very much for taking this journey, this right brain journey, for being patient and open to it, for not engaging your left brain all the time. I can see the difference from the first class to this class. There's not a whole lot of, you know, you all were really present and just being with it. And what is meant for you to, you know, pop out will come out. So anybody wants to take a deeper dive with me and Cassandra, we'll let you know how you can do that. It's a group or individuals. In closing, is there anything I can, that you want to say?
I just want to say that these last 2 weeks have been so full of a lot of information, but a lot of heart. And I I'm so thankful to you for what you've shared with us. And you've given me like a ton of things to think about and work on, but that's okay. I'm very happy with it all.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for sharing that. Pick one that feels right. No matter how small it is, it will matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. There's nothing else. I'm going to sign off and wish you all the very best. We probably stay tuned. I don't know if I'm going to have that optional class. Right now I'm feeling not. But you can always reach out to me. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Tony.
You're so welcome. Less doing, more being.